want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
Building laughs to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
Can I just take a second to tell you why this station sucks?
Good. Why does this station suck, Don?
I'll tell you two reasons this station sucks.
Why?
First,
and you're not talking about the stations, you're not talking about the affiliates, you're talking about this,
no,
the station where we do this show from, where our flagship station.
WJFK-FM.
Here in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
106.7.
Mm-hmm.
This is the station that pays roughly $5 million a year to broadcast the Redskins games.
Mm-hmm.
The Redskins are in the playoffs, and they've advanced to the second round.
Right.
And they're playing against Tampa Bay this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We've not yet today on our show had a promo scheduled that says you can hear the Redskins play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Saturday on this station.
Even though this town, and I'm sure Tampa as well, but this town going absolutely nuts when the Redskins, you know, it's been, 7 years?
This is effed up, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I shouldn't care about that, but I do care about that because I know that's the number one thing people are talking about.
Absolutely.
But there's no Redskins promos in here. You know, I asked somebody about it before the show today.
Mm-hmm.
When I came into work, I talked to him and said, hey, how come there's no Redskins promos? He said, you know what? We're working on them.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on them. You should have had a Redskins promo on the air yesterday.
Right.
That says the game is going to be on this station on Saturday.
We should be all over it.
But there's nothing. I'm playing promos in here that are 3 months old. I'm serious. The promos for the other shows?
Right.
3 months old.
That's unacceptable.
Okay. That's one reason this station sucks.
Is there another reason?
Yes. And the other reason this station sucks, and this, I mean, really sucks and bites the big one, the computers.
They're still out?
Yeah. Now, listen, how tough is this?
They're not Y2K compliant?
Here's all the information I need. All I need is on the screen for it to say the town that somebody's calling from,
right,
their name, and what they're calling about.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the morons at this station cannot noodle that through. Every time they try to put this system together, it crashes. Let me give you guys a small hint. It's called WordPerfect.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is link up the computer I got in here to the computer that Rockhead has in the other room. And all he has to do is type in, Joe Blow is on line 5 from Rochester.
Right.
And if that doesn't work, how about you set up an email account in here so he can email me who's on the telephone, or he can instant message me who's on the telephone.
Yeah, temporarily, just to get you by.
I mean, I'm out of my mind about this place. This place is seriously falling apart.
Here comes Wendell.
Seriously. You put it in. Thanks. Oh, F you, Wendell. F you.
I've been here since 6 a.m. trying to get
this. It doesn't take a genius to do this, man. Doesn't take a genius. How long has this been broken? A month?
It's another fight with
Wendell. He just came and threw this stuff at me.
F you.
Get out of my studio.
It's another fight with Wendell we're having here.
The engineer just came in and threw a couple of pieces of software at me.
Wendell apparently has been here working on this from a very early hour, and now everybody's getting... Hey, I'd like to say welcome to the year 2000. We're off to a wonderful start here.
Hey, listen, Wendell, F you, my friend. It ain't the toughest thing in the world to link up a screen from this room to the other room so that they can just type in the name of someone who's on the telephone. That's not so tough. My wife's done it with the computers at my house. Maybe I should call my wife to come down here and do this.
This is not good.
Oh, now everybody, look at everybody snapping. Now they just brought in the Redskins promos.
Oh, they have the Redskins promos. Yeah, Chris out in the hallway.
He's probably pissed at me,
hey,
too.
You're shaking it up a little bit.
Too bad.
You're shaking it up. That's a good thing.
Too bad. All right, let me hear the promo. Let me hear the promo that should have been in here yesterday.
Just 5 days until the Redskins and the Buccaneers. Only on your Redskins flagship station, 106.7 WJFK.
All right, good. Now run that in every stop set, every hour of every day.
Here, here.
Okay? But really, about this computer, that is not the toughest thing in the world, to network two computers. We're not looking to do rocket science. All we want is the guy in the other room, the phone screening room, to be able to type in information
right.
that is relayed here on the screen here.
How old is that monitor, just out of curiosity?
That monitor? A couple of years.
Really?
It's
It looks too big to be a couple of years old. It looks, you know, you see it from the front, and I'm sure it looks 2 years old. I'm looking at it from the side, and it has a picture tube. It looks to me to be larger than the color TV that we had in 1960-something.
All I know is it's not tough. We're not asking for anything major here. We're asking for something that most people have in their homes, where you can link up two computers and you can pass information on.
Do you know what might work?
Okay, what?
Do you know what we have for the shopping malls? Those little radios? You know those little Motorola walkie-talkies that you have?
We have those. We bought those when we turned in that gift you bought me.
Yeah, and then what you could do is...
That's what we bought instead of the Slam Man.
Yeah.
We did.
Okay.
We bought those walkie-talkies from when we went to Disneyland.
You know, I should have kept those golf shoes and brought it back instead of handing them right back to you.
You should have. They cost over $100.
Hey, and speaking of that, did I deliver finally on that?
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
I told you I'd do it after the weekend.
My ear and nose hair trimmer arrived.
Did you open it? Did you ever open it?
No, I mean, I opened the packaging.
And does it meet you with your approval?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. It's very nice. It's Panasonic.
Yeah, that's what I got when I returned the gifts. And speaking of returning the gifts, I can't let someone slide. Who mentioned to me in the hallway that over the weekend I bumped into Buzz in the shopping mall over the weekend?
Yes, did you really?
On Saturday I saw Buzz. Didn't see his lovely wife, but Buzz was a la most of the old men, just standing out in the middle of the mall doing nothing, waiting for your wife,
just
right?
Waiting on the little woman.
And you returned your gift too, didn't you?
I did. I put
and
it
you
in.
Returned that clock. I would have swapped you for that clock, Buzz.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't want the laser pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you're right.
So I traded it in for a smaller clock and, you know, some kitchen tools.
Well, it's a Dennis Murphy Christmas.
That's three for three. Hey, Dennis shouldn't feel bad about that. That's no. That's terrific.
Everybody returned their gift.
But I was going to say the walkie-talkies would be, you know, a way that if you have one of those things in your ear, you know.
No, that's too confusing. I don't want somebody talking in my ear.
I love my coffee mug, Dennis.
Ah, very good, Rob.
I kept my coffee.
I just don't see why it's so goddamn tough to get this computer thing hooked up. Hey, Robbie?
Well, it's obviously got to be, there's got to be something difficult, because, I mean, Wendell obviously was very upset and has been, you know, laboring over this thing. Something obviously is wrong.
Well, then maybe we need a higher power to come in and take care of this.
Like a computer expert.
Yeah, if our guys are stumped by this, if our guys are stumped by the daunting task of linking two computers together to get a minimum of words on a screen so a disc jockey knows who's calling on a telephone, then maybe we should go to CompUSA or something and get one of those guys to come down.
Get a computer guy to come in.
Yeah. Right.
That's not a bad idea.
We really should. I mean, no offense, Wendell. Don't take it so personally. Don't come in and throw your goddamn software at me.
What did he throw at you?
He threw a couple of Microsoft discs.
Didn't you throw it back? You threw it back, right?
You're damn right I did.
Was it Windows that he threw at you? Or
I don't know.
That's whatever the Microsoft thing is that they're installing to do the phone screening program. It's a very expensive program, I'm told.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that you could go to...
Isn't it specific?
You could go to Sam's Club, though, and you could buy two computers with two monitors that can send information.
But wait a minute. With radio stations all over the country, this is not the only talk show in the country. There's got to be software in place.
There is.
That you just buy from a broadcast operation.
Well, what we had was actually designed by our buddy Daryl Nichols.
Yeah, that was a homemade deal.
Right. And this is what they're trying to replace it with, is what is supposedly one of the better ones. And the computer.
But why don't we just go to the radio store where the people in the radio business buy it?
That's what I was just saying. Why don't we just get the software from the... I don't know.
I think what engineering, I think, is trying to make it be as good as it can possibly be, but they're just having trouble.
Oh, Christ, I don't care about the bells and the whistles and you know, the fact that, look, it's got lights that flash. Hey, how about you guys just jerry-rig something so it says, line 3, Bobby calling from Sacramento.
Bobby Hill calling from Sacramento.
That's all I ask. That's all I ask. And if you've been working on it from 6 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, and you haven't been able to noodle it through, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what that says. I mean, you know what that says, but I'm not going to say it right now.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hello?
Yes.
You know, Robbie, go get Wendell. I'm going to talk to this lady with a hairy ass. You bring him back in here.
Oh, dear.
I'm serious.
Pardon me?
I didn't start a personal attack on Wendell Hall.
No, you didn't.
Hello?
No, you really, it was very generic. I will tell you that. It was very generic. It only involved Wendell when he came in here. And
threw his software.
You know, Wendell is very sensitive. I think we've established that fact. He's a very sensitive guy.
Listen, here is a lady with a hairy ass right now.
Oh, a hairy ass lady.
Our first.
What is your name, my dear?
Maisie.
All right,
here comes
Wendell. Hold on a second. I've got to get this worked out with Wendell.
Can we have peace in our house?
Hi, Wendell.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
This has been unbelievable.
I'm sorry, too. It was not a personal affront at you, Wendell.
I know better than
it's
that.
It's a frustration.
I should have known that. I'm frustrated. It's you've been a PD, right?
Yes,
music station?
So is he.
You,
yes.
ever work, you guys ever work with Selector?
Constantly, sure.
Same guys. Same people make the software that we're trying to put
in. Okay, but Wendell, just, I understand that the RCS Selector, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a pain in the ass.
Oh.
Why don't you just put some kind of WordPerfect on here? Why can't you just link these computers? Just take it down to the most basic element.
The beautiful idea that all these programs are supposed to do is that they talk to the phones, and when you drop a caller, call goes away. Nobody has to do anything about it. You're not looking up and seeing an old call that you got rid of 20 minutes ago.
I don't care about that. I just want to see the people who are on the phone now.
Understood.
That's all. Can't you guys just jerry-rig something with that?
It's, if we can't get this going, yeah.
Okay, because it's been seriously. I mean, I'm not...
No, we've been not, busting our butts on this for the last week.
I'm not busting your balls about this.
I'm sorry, man. I did not mean to go off like that. I'm just tired. I got in here real early. I was up early yesterday and got home late from football.
Does anyone understand, listening to this, what kind of pressure cooker we work in?
This is every day, ladies and gentlemen. Do you see what we go through for you?
It might sound seamless to you, the listener, but I will tell you right now.
Bubbling underneath, Mike.
Oh, it's everybody. Bubbling underneath the surface is a cauldron of pure tension, pure rage, hostility. And I'll tell you, in the year 2000... Somebody's going off. Somebody's going to go off.
Wendell has taken the first step.
Oh, Wendell's got the most. Wendell is has the most potential, I believe, to lose it. Don't.
Well, Wendell,
just calm down.
Thank you. Thank
Wendell,
you so much. Yeah.
Again, no, nothing personal.
No, we're cool. I apologize.
I apologize also.
Did not.
All I want is just somebody to get callers up on the screen. I don't care if the calls drop when the people are gone. I don't care if a light goes on. I don't care if you guys got all the bells and whistles.
Rockhead with a sign with magic marker right outside the window here.
Mike, we have already tried that.
It didn't work?
It does not work.
Okay.
We were thinking, what about, you know, at Hooters, they got those clips in the wires, they just sort of shoot the toward the kitchen.
I know what you're talking
Wendell,
about.
Wendell, that would be better? You mean where they send the orders back to the kitchen?
Exactly.
Like in Mel's Diner.
Yeah, right. That'd be perfect. I love that thing.
But, that would work better than this piece of crap.
But I was thinking if I could go down to Hooters here and research that, I could expense it.
All right, listen, hold on. What if I was, can you get me on the net here?
You're on the net.
Okay. If I was to get my AOL account up. Here.
I don't know whether it'll run on NT.
You mean and tell them and get emailed, get emailed the phone?
I was going to say, I just pull up my AOL account.
Right.
And Rockhead and Broyhill can just instant message me. Who's on the telephone?
Instant message you.
Instant message might work. Fire up Explorer there. Actually, I can do it from over here.
Okay. All right. All right, we're going to try to, this is going to be, try to be a
while Wendell,
fix.
While Wendell is doing this, let's go back. I do want to talk to the girl with a hairy ass.
Yeah, while you guys have been talking, my hairs on my ass have been turning white.
Okay. Oh, really? You're getting gray.
Gray, white, what? Man. I'm getting old here.
What is your name, my dear?
Maisie,
where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bethesda right now.
And Maisie, you have a hairy ass, honey?
Well, I'd say a little lustrous would be a nice way to say it. But, yeah, it's definitely full of hair.
Really? Full of hair?
Full of hair.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble, Maisie?
Oh, shoot. Nobody in particular, because I'm, you know, kind of have a unique look, but I'd say Selma Hayek.
With a hairy ass.
Fantastic.
Mm. Okay, would you be willing to come down on Friday and either pull down your pants or wear a thong so we could see how hairy your butt is?
Well, yeah, sure. If I was wondering if they might be able to throw in a bikini as well, you know, just kind of
you don't have around. You don't have a bikini, honey?
Would you like us to have a bikini here for you?
No. I'm saying, like, the bikini hair removal.
Oh,
too.
A bikini
just, like,
wax.
The whole job, you know, not just, like, leave a little line there. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I don't know if it's just ass hair removal, but I'm sure you could discuss it with him. Yeah,
I'm sure they can work something out.
We can work something out.
For a girl, they could throw that in. I think that would be unreasonable.
I think that's reasonable.
All right, yeah, hold on a second. We'll see you Friday, okay?
Okay.
Hold on, please.
All right.
That's Maisie.
All right, now, Wendell, you want me to type in my AOL information here?
No, I just got to download the Instant Messenger program.
Well, look at that. AOL Instant Messenger. So you guys should have called me. I could have walked you right through this. Now we're getting it taken care of. Mike, you want to talk to an angry man?
Yes, I do.
All right, here is an angry man. Hello.
Mike, how you doing?
Oh, yes. Hi, how are you?
Listen, I'm doing great, and I love your show, but I sat there and called in on the, guess the laugh, National Laugh Contest, and I sat there, I have a proposition for you.
Mike, this guy called
the National Laugh Contest?
For the guest, the National Laugh Contest.
That's not what the contest is called, you idiot.
Okay. Well,
I was trying to tweak him up. I mean, he wasn't angry enough, and now he just doesn't sound angry. Is this really the angry man?
He's been angry.
Yeah.
All right, what do you tell me?
That's what Rockhead or whomever.
All right, tell me what you're angry about.
Oh, nothing. I got hung up on.
You did?
Yeah, I got hung up.
Well, that was probably justified.
I'm sure that was already mentioned to you.
It probably was.
By one of our underlings.
Are you angry,
well,
sir?
No. No, I'm not angry.
Yes,
I'll make you...
Goodbye.
Yeah, that just wasn't picking up.
Angry was your ticket to being on this show.
I got a little excited because he said Mike, and I was like all ready to handle him. I even called him an idiot. Didn't get him any angrier.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
Please, for the love of God, turn your radio down.
A little more curmudgeon-y than angry.
My radio is down.
Thank you.
My radio God.
Okay, what? Hello?
Hello?
What?
I was stuck on the delay.
Pardon
me? First of all, I have to say...
What did he say?
He said I was stuck on the demay. What does that mean? You were stuck on the demay. Please explain that.
Stuck on the demay.
What does that mean?
I was trying to hear myself and figure out when
I... Do you mean the delay?
D-E-L-A-Y.
I mean, I would normally say delay, but you said the demay?
I think I said demay.
Oh, and that reminds me. Does everybody out there listening know how you pronounce the city where the Lions play football? You pronounce it Detroit.
Yeah,
it's not... Detroit. If I hear one more person say, today it's the Redskins and the Detroit Lions, I'm going to go ballistic.
The Detroit Lions.
All right, here you go.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The Lions and God bless the Redskins.
Hold on, watch this. We're gonna
right next to the state of Illinois.
We're going to make some progress now. I'm going to type in my screen name.
God bless the Redskins. God bless the Hogs. God bless Joe Theismann.
All right.
God bless John Riggins.
Okay, all right. Let's go to password, Wendell. You went down to password?
Yeah, you tap down to it, or I can click there.
Yeah, why don't you click down to password?
All right. Okay.
Now Don's going to put in his secret password. Okay, that's...
I think that's it. Okay. Retype to confirm password.
Okay. Okay. Gunsmoke.
And your email address. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sexyboy at AOL.com.
All right, continue.
Sexy boy.
When you send information on the internet, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now we're going to get instant. The screen name you've chosen is unavailable. Someone has already registered it.
Welcome to the world of computers.
That's impossible.
That would be you.
Right.
Right?
See, your screen name, what it is saying is your screen name is invalid.
Already an AOL member, please click
yes,
there.
Yes, I am. Okay, now enter.
There you are.
Oh, here you go. This is the way it works. I was going to think AOL was busy, what with the big merger with Time Warner and all.
Okay, there you go, Wendell. Enter your AOL screen name, enter your zip code. Congratulations, you are registered for AOL Instant Messenger. Your new screen name is same as my old screen name.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Sexy boy.
You know, I was going to mention to you about that AOL Time Life merger.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the guys who's like the vice president of some crap at AOL.
Right.
Is this guy that lives in my neighborhood. His
name, this is AOL country for anybody that wants to know, right here in Washington, D.C.
His name is Bob Pittman.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is I was watching this merger on TV today.
Right.
First off, Ted Turner, when he came up to speak, he said, aw. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. You really did. So they're going through the do you need something, Wendell? Or are you
just
waiting
for
this to
download?
They're going through all these guys are coming up and saying what this merger means. And then all of a sudden this guy, Bob Pittman, my neighbor, comes on TV. And I'm thinking, I got two things with Bob Pittman. First, the fact that 20 years ago when he was a program director,
right,
he flew me in for an interview at WNBC in New York when he was the program director, flew me all the way in, put me up at the Marriott Marquis. Thank you, Rockhead. Rockhead had just come in with a note that says, girls are on line 1, 3, and 6 with Harry.
Excellent.
Asses.
Wow.
I'll continue this in a moment, this diatribe. Hello?
Is this a girl with a hairy ass? I hear hear a hum.
See, that's the beauty of the show.
Yes, thank you.
We finally get the information that nobody was there. Let me try line three.
Well,
hello?
Lord knows how long she was waiting.
Hello?
That was Rockette writing and walking into the studio.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Wendell, did you do something to the phones when you were playing with the internet? Okay, because I got nothing on three. Let me try six. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Hi, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
I love you guys.
I love you more.
No.
No, yes. You have a hairy ass?
I have a hairy ass question.
Okay, fire away.
I know that the asses, the cheeks are going to be what's judged.
Yes.
But when they do the procedure, is it going to include the anus?
No, it does not include the inside of the butt, just the outside.
But like that other lady, I'm sure that you could talk to them if you had, because I know what ladies are talking about. You're interested in having them get all that pesky hair out of the place where you do your business,
the
right?
The no-no place.
Mm-hmm. The no-no place, that's right.
Isn't it up to, I mean, you know, because didn't, on your card, did it say on your card, did it say anus?
No, it didn't.
It didn't?
It didn't. I
okay.
Ad-libbed that.
So it's just the butt cheeks.
Great ad-lib.
Thank you. You know what? I'm sure it would be up to you, and I'm sure that they would be more than accommodating.
Anything between you and the doctor is between private
you and
business.
You and the doctor. If you want to have the inside of your butt done, I'm sure they would do it. But the prerequisite for this contest is that you have hair on the outside of your butt.
Right. And let me ask you a question. Will you be touching the butt to feel for hair?
Or do no,
you
ma'am.
To be able
no,
to
we
feel?
Can't touch anything. We're not allowed.
We will look close. Why, do you have very light hair?
Yeah, it's really light and fine.
Well, you can participate.
Yes, you're in.
Oh.
Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I've been told Yasmine Bleeth.
Oh, baby.
And Ally McGraw when she was young.
Oh, Yasmine wow. Bleeth with a hairy ass.
Ally McGraw, wow, in her hottie days.
Hold the line, please.
Okay.
Hold on, we'll see you on Friday, okay?
Fantastic.
See you then. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buzz, my butt is so hairy you could vacuum it.
Okay.
Hello, Jorge.
Jorge, would this be the first call of 2000 from Jorge, Buzz?
Yes, I think it is.
I think it is.
Buzz, to celebrate the millennium, perhaps I should lay down and you can get your big Hoover out.
No, I don't think that'll be necessary,
hey,
Jorge.
Hello, thanks. Don and Mike show.
Thanks anyway.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Don, I have the hairiest ass of any man alive.
Really? How hairy is it, sir?
I was in Green Bay at the Packers-Cardinals game a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
You know how you got the guy who's always running around the football game with the shirt off?
Right.
Well, we met him in the parking lot after the game. We bet a lot of money and a lot of beers. I dropped trowel, pulled off the shirt. The crowd screamed, I won hands down. It's a done deal.
So you have a gigantic hairy ass.
Yes, I do.
And you would be interested in having a laser hair removal.
Yes, absolutely, as long as they're very careful at what they do.
Where are you from, sir?
I live in Waldorf.
Yeah, hold on, you're in. Hold the line, please.
I think for the guys, it's more important to, you know, get that outside taken care of. You don't want to go into that bad place for the guys.
Nay, nay.
And be
Wendell,
nasty.
What's the status on our AOL instant message?
Screen name and password time.
Okay. Here we go. Where do I,
Type in sexy boy.
All right.
And password. Then
push the down key. There we go. Okay.
Last long time. Password.
Ah! Okay, and then enter.
Sign in, please.
Starting service.
Starting the service.
And look at that.
You in there?
Yes, we are.
You're in the instant messenger?
Yes, we are. And suddenly we've figured a way around the system. Isn't that right? See, we got the buddy list up here in the right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
We're on, right? Now, Broyho, get online and instant message me right now, please.
He's probably already there.
Oh, hold on. We're not totally set yet.
What does it say?
Totally set.
This wizard will help get you started with AOL Instant Messenger Service. Use your mouse, click on the button next to the topic you're interested in. We're not interested in any of this. Cancel. That's crap. Okay, here we go. Where's the instant message? Am I online?
Are you online now?
I don't know, Mike.
Oh, here comes something.
User Broyhill has sent you a message. Would you like to accept it? Yes! Accept it! And he's written hi. Now let me write back something at him. Eat. Me. Raw. Ha!
Hey!
Success!
F you! Broyhill writes back to you! F you, he writes back. Broyhill writes back.
Now the ball is in Broyhill's court.
Broyhill says,
not F you.
No. And now we're beginning to do too much communicating with Charlie Broyhill.
This is now just like in You've Got Mail, that awful right. movie with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, when they realized that they were both online at the same time. Okay, Wendell, thank you. Look at this now. If you just would have come to me in the beginning.
That's right.
Problem solved.
That's right.
I'll be back in the back room cursing Bill Gates.
Gotcha. Problem solved. So now we can screen the calls through my AOL instant message.
That's right.
Beautiful.
And you can expense it.
Right.
You should expense it.
I think I get my AOL account comped.
What do you do?
I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh.
I better call my family, though, and tell them they're not going to be able to get on the internet during the entire show today.
Will this tie up your internet?
Mm-hmm. Because we've got all three of us on the same account, just with different screen names.
Hello?
Hey, buddy.
Hello?
Hey, Barty?
Yeah?
Hey, when you guys get home today, you won't be able to get on the web.
I know.
Okay? Because I need it for my show, so I can see...
Sure you do.
So I can see who's on the telephone.
We pay for AOL.
Oh, do we really pay for it?
Yes.
Well, didn't we used to get it free a long time ago?
Didn't we used to get it free?
10 years ago, when it was new.
10 years ago. Well, I thought we were still getting it for free.
Not anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, just be advised. Do you need to go on the web for school or anything?
We don't have to, remember? We don't have to use AOL because we have Internet Explorer.
Oh, correct. Right. Beautiful.
So they can get on the net.
They can get on the net.
Yeah,
now.
Okay, good. Right.
Problem solved. How about that? Your father, the problem solver, Barty.
Ha!
Look at that. 6 weeks of crap. Took me 10 minutes to figure this out. And I got the Redskins promos in here.
Look at that.
How about that? Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Huzzah. So when you went to this fake ID place yesterday. Hey, Barty.
Yeah?
Did Mommy tell you I was talking about that?
Yeah. Where are the other places? Because I want to go to them.
Why do you want a fake ID?
Why not?
No, come on. Why do you want a fake ID?
That's my answer. Why not?
No, and I need a more specific answer than that. Why do you want a fake ID?
Do I have to tell you?
Yes, you have to tell me.
So I can buy stuff.
Buy what stuff?
Pornography.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You know what? See, that's why I have a good relationship with my son. That really is. Because given the two things that were hanging in the balance there?
Yes.
I'd much rather have it that he wants to buy pornography
right.
than he wants to go out and get loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Don't I already give you my Maxim magazine?
It's not pornography. They don't show anything.
Barty, Maxim is pretty darn close to pornography.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
not. I'm talking about buying Hustler, Dad.
Hustler? I'll talk about this with you when I get home tonight.
I thought really that was going to come along there sometime.
All right, love you.
Love you, too. And it's not like you don't look at it. I remember when I found your penthouse stash.
Yeah, your father had a penthouse stash?
Yep, he had like five of them. And every weekend I check his bill and there are more, like, Playboy Truck Stop Angel movies.
Oh, you're talking about the videos, about off the satellite.
Yeah, from like the Adult and the Spice Network.
Right.
The Pleasure Network.
Video Truck Stop Angels. Right on. Love you.
Okay. Bye. Boob Town. Love you too.
All right. See you. Bye. Bye. Now look at this, Mike.
Yeah, that's the maximum curiosity at that age too.
Yeah.
You gotta understand. He's gonna be honest.
I've just gotten an instant message that lines 3, 4, and 5 all have dudes. Hmm.
Dudes with hairy butts.
Yes. The system is working fantastically.
And we have what, two or three? We have two or three ladies now for the hairy butt contest.
Why doesn't somebody just name me general manager of this station? Look at what a goddamn problem solver I am.
Got the promo in there for the Redskins. Got the system working.
Right. Beautiful. Of course, now this phone system will not work for the other disc jockeys because I'm not leaving my AOL account on.
No, but it's very easy if this is unable to be accomplished to set up an account.
That's how you do it.
You know, you set up an account for every show on the station.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The question is, do I have a God complex?
Dr. Kessler says yes.
Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school. If you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone has to be to lead a surgical team, I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England, and I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis, and you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
They're not here to make fun, not here to replace. They just want to bring back some memories. Don and Mike.
Do let me tell you something funny, though. And I found out the rest of the story, much like Paul Harvey when I arrived here at the station today.
The rest of the story.
This morning I tried to call Mike. Because, you know, on Friday, we always try to get Jeff Hardy in.
Right.
And I know that sometimes on Friday that the show gets busy and that we have to bump it if we're doing an event like we are today.
Right.
So I wanted to call Mike to tell him that definitely prepare his bit for Jeopardy today, because no matter what, we're going to get Jeopardy and we'll just move stuff around.
Great.
Very good. So I'm picking up the phone. I'm trying to call him. And the first time I call, I get the beep, beep, beep. The number you have requested is not in service. So I thought, well, you know what? I must have misdialed.
That's correct.
So I dial it again, and I get, again, the number's not in service. So I wait about 20 minutes, I try it again, and then I get this. There's trouble on the line.
Right.
Okay, so I figured, well, you know, they must be doing some construction at your house or something.
Yeah,
so
Hooterville, you know, out there in the sticks. Yeah.
So fortunately, you know, I thought, well, I'll tell him when he gets to work. I know he'll prepare the, you know, the character for today's Jeopardy.
He'll be very good.
But now I must ask you to tell everybody why, for the rest of today's show, you will be known as Rusty Ford.
Do you know what's weird and what's a little strange?
And, Mike, it's a Friday payday. I'd like to point that out also.
It is, but just got paid. You know what's strange?
What?
Is when you come into the studio and this is the only place that you're relaxed in, like, the last 2 hours.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not good. That's not good. I mean, you should relax. This is high-pressure radio.
Right.
You know, this is the big time. And you should
nah.
be... This should be the seat of stress. This is not. This is the first time
this is the
sitting
sauna.
In this chair.
The sauna of your life.
This is the first moment that I've actually been relaxed in the last hour.
Oh my.
Because I'm late. I'm running late. You know, through nobody's fault but my own little golf game this morning, and I'm running late, and I like to get a, you know, I was relaxed during the golf game. I had a great time. But I get on the highway, and I get a guy that's giving me a bucket of road rage. Like big, huge in the passenger side.
Right.
I got that road rage because when I was getting up on the exit, I was trying to call the operator, because when I called my home number, it went beep beep beep. Your number has been disconnected.
Oh my.
So I'm calling the operator, and as I'm calling the operator on the merge, I apparently drifted over to the left.
Mm.
And so as I drift off to the left, I hear this like that, and I immediately pull over to the right, and this truck goes by me, and the passenger is just going, yeah, like that.
Give me the big double finger.
And you know how with road rage, it's, you know, always gets to a point where you just go, oh, all right. And that's what I did. I gave him that look, and okay.
Yeah, get off my back.
He gives me all these things. So I'm getting this road rage the whole way, the whole way into the city. And I'm going, you know, I'm like, oh, God. So I completely forget. It really stresses me out. I mean, this guy looked like his head was going to come out. And I back off, as you're supposed to do.
Right.
And, you know, and it's just driving me nuts. And so
that's
I completely
right.
forget the fact that the number's been disconnected. And so I get to the office.
Rusty Ford.
I call the cell phone number, and I say, can you help me with this? Well, no. Do you have a calling card? I don't have a calling card. I don't keep a calling card with me. So I can't do it over the cell phone, so I have to wait till I get to the office. I get to the office. I walk in, and I say, well, on the hard line, maybe it'll, you know, work a little differently. I call the number. I'm sorry. Your number has been disconnected.
Billy? Has your phone been disconnected because you haven't paid the bill?
Billy, have your last phone payment, was that made in August? And so I finally call. Well, that's what happens. Yes, I call the operator. And I hope my wife is hearing this, because if she's hearing this, this is the only way that I can communicate with you. Honey, if you call me like at a payphone or something, and you call me at the office, I'll give you the number to call to pay. So
how can she call, though, if your phone is out of order?
I don't know. I'm not sure whether she'll be able to call me, but if they've disconnected it, that means she cannot call.
Right, right. Maybe she could send you a letter.
I don't know at this moment where she is. I usually have called her four or five times by this time, and I am not able to reach her, which is a source of stress, although in here, stress melts away. So I will tell you that I
have
call...
you given any thought to the fact that she may just have left you?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I have.
You go home tonight and your house would be empty.
Most definitely.
Be like a mattress.
Yes, I am. I always examine that possibility. And I don't think that wasn't playing it. That, you know, all the furniture's gone. Where's everyone gone? So I call the number for the phone company, and the phone person says, yes, you have an outstanding balance of yada, yada that you have to pay. I say yada yada because it was $1 million.
It's a TSMB. It might be some
wow. Mr. Bigglesworth. So I call this person and they tell me the whole deal, and then they say, well, I said, how can I, like I always say, and believe me, I say this a lot to creditors, how do I expedite the situation? You know, because I have to say it quite often. So I say, how do I expedite the situation? He said, well, you can pay with a credit card. So I reach in, and I have this one credit card that I use for these moments. This is the one credit card that is the lock. It's the credit card that always works.
Ah.
The other ones that I have, my Discover card and my other card, just always a little suspect, real low limit, you
sure.
know, maxed out all the time, right?
Right.
So I reach in, and as I'm talking, I'm being cool as a cucumber, like I always like to be with creditors. And so I say to the guy, no problem, let me reach in and get
especially
this
when it's your fault.
Yes, especially when it's my fault. So I reach in and I'm looking for the card. Well, the card is not in my wallet. Because this is the card I use for everything. It's the card I use for ATM. This is the card I use to pay almost all the bills. I do this because it ties right into
where's it
account.
At?
I don't know.
Oh my.
Sometimes my wife will take it out to use it. Or sometimes I will use it and put it in my pocket, so it could be anywhere. So I say, well, now we go into the unexplored territory, and I get out the first card. And I said, all right, I'll try this card. And I'm not giving any hint that there's going to be a problem. So the person says, all right, put in the number. Do, and you go through the whole exercise. Would you confirm this? I press the button to confirm. Thank you. Unfortunately, this card is not eligible at the present time for payment of this bill.
Billy,
so you know,
are you over the limit on your credit card?
So at this point, I hear the operator, and I really heard this from the, I swear to God, I hear this from the operator. I hear.
And, you know, another deadbeat.
Right. That's when my hands begin to shake uncontrollably, and I say, I've got one more, and that's my little frequent flyer card that I use, the special one.
Right.
That's got a, let me see, what's my limit now?
$1 million.
No, I think it's $3. $3 is my limit on that. So I call, and I go through the exercise again.
Magma.
Hit pound. Thank you. Unfortunately, the card you have put in, this is, okay, so here's what we have here, right? With the operator online, we have the unpaid phone bill, and we have two credit cards that are ineligible. I don't feel like the king loser of the world. I really do. I really feel, you know, and I say, oh, man, you know, the card I usually use, like they don't hear that all the time, the card I usually use isn't in my wallet right now. And then, you know, the total sympathy on the other night. Is there anything else I can help you with, sir? You know, which is really like, I don't want to deal with you, you incredible deadbeat F. Please get off the line with me. So, as it stands now, I talked to the guy and I said, the way to do this, if you turn the phone back on, then the person at home I will be able to reach, and they will pay immediately with the credit card to use that. And, shock of shocks, the guy said he would do that and that the phone should be turned on in an hour or two.
That's a good scam. You've just given everybody out there who's had their phone turned off a very good scam.
But here's the deal. Here's how they get you. Window of opportunity.
How did they get you, Billy?
Here is how they get you. They have a limited window of opportunity that they are using to pay the bill. So, it will be on in 1 or 2 hours, but it will also be off in 3 or 4 hours.
Oh.
So you see, the only reason it's they've opened it, you know, this is the phone company, okay? The phone company is not going to cut anybody. But I think
something.
They cut me a tremendous amount of slack.
Sure. And I will pod down when they give your phone number. We'll see if your number's in service yet. No.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Thank you very much.
I haven't picked it yet.
I've had a lot of problems over the lifetime, as everybody does once in a while. Bills are late and stuff. I don't think I've ever had my phone turned off due to lack of payment.
It's a new feeling.
How rusty Ford felt. Rusty used to have his phone bill, his electricity, and his landlord, lock the door, put a padlock on the door.
There was this guy that we used to work with. Every 2 weeks on Friday morning, we did a bit with this guy. He hated us for it. We would have a contest on the air,
right,
where we would decide, we'd bet before we called his phone number at home to see if his phone would be turned on or not.
Right.
And then after we would win that bet or lose that bet, depending on if the phone was turned on or off, how we bet, then we would go into our whole next phase, because every Friday on payday, this guy Rusty Ford would take his entire paycheck,
cash it,
and he would come into the station with like, $400 or $500 in cash in his pocket.
Right, he'd have a wad of bills.
Meanwhile, he had no electricity at home, no telephone turned on, and he's driving a car that his dad gave him.
Mm-hmm.
He would go down to a hotel downtown.
I used to hang out with him. He'd take this big stash. He was a fun guy to hang out with. He'd have this big stash of bills, and he'd go down. He'd buy two hotel rooms. He'd go down, and he'd say, "Great, it's Friday. Mike, you want to do something tonight?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, Rusty. Let's go out." And so Rusty he'd take the big wad of bills. He'd go in, and many times he wouldn't be able to pay the hotel because he had gone out and spent money, at a bar and at a restaurant. Oh, I mean, like, we're talking top shelf restaurants. It's like, great.
And real nice hotels, right? Like, you get a suite, right?
Rusty, can I take care of the tip? No need. I've got cash. A big, thick wad of bills.
So this guy, every Friday on the show, we started by playing that song by Johnny Kemp. I just got paid.
Friday night.
And then we started giving away payday candy bars.
He didn't like that.
We did a whole thing about Rusty Ford. But it all started with the fact that every Friday we would call to see if his phone was turned on or not.
Absolutely.
So welcome. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, it's nice to be a member of that club. And, I'll tell you right now, I'm still holding out. Since I haven't been able to reach my wife, I'm still holding out the chance that maybe this is not a bill pay situation. Perhaps this is... I get home and everything's gone.
No,
that won't.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Okay.
And I'll tell you right now that if that happens, if I go home and everything's been taken, that's really gonna wee-wee all over my weekend. I'll tell you right now. But I'll deal with that after I get done with 18 tomorrow morning.
It is payday. You can take your stack of money and go get a hotel.
That's true. I've got... You know what sucks?
What?
This is right after those people that bid to play with me at Bushwood.
At the charity thing that you did a couple weeks ago, right?
I gave a round of golf and lunch with me as one of the prizes.
At your fancy country club?
At the fancy country club, Bushwood. And they were really nice people. Super nice people that I played golf with today, because they bid. And they bid a lot of money to come out and play the round of golf. And I was just like, hey, welcome. Okay, terrific. Here's we got a caddy and everything. We're walking around going, hey, thanks a lot. Walking up to the caddy, giving him some
Big
cash.
Mr.
Big Shot. I walk in and I said to the pro out there, I said, listen, this is for the March of Dimes. Do you like to throw in two hats, on the March of Dimes? Make it a charity contribution. Because it is for the March of Dimes. You donate two hats to these nice people. So the guy says, for you, anything. I get two hats. I didn't tell them that I told them it was for the charity.
Right. So they thought whether you bought
it for me. So I walk in, I go, listen, really enjoy the round. Couple of hats for both of you. Take some souvenirs. Let's go upstairs. How about a little lunch? Hey, sit down. Anything you want.
I hope you just signed for the lunch.
I did. I signed for the lunch. I'm like, hey, anything you want. Did you enjoy yourselves? Listen, I'm real sorry. Got to go do the show. But I hope you enjoyed your marvelous day here, And I get home, first thing I do, call my wife.
Well,
I'm sorry. You are a deadbeat loser who has not paid your bill.
Well, I hope she's listening. I know that your wife is not as open as my wife wanting to call the show and talk on the show all the time.
Yeah,
but this would be an excellent first opportunity for her to call in and get on the show.
Yeah, that won't happen.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now that she, I don't think she's listening.
Oh, I do have a comforting call for you, though, Mike.
Okay, very good.
Right here. Oh, and listen, I got to tell you. I love the new computer system they've hooked up in here.
Good.
They have finally given us a telephone system that our old telephone system with the computer was like circa 1970.
Right.
This appears to be circa 1985.
Really?
And even though it appears to be 15 years behind the times, I'm ecstatic.
It's really working well?
Yeah, because it says who's on what line.
Very good.
And if there's a line I should go to immediately,
okay,
it's highlighted in green.
That's good.
Which is like right here on line number one, it's highlighted in green, which means this is a call I should take immediately.
Someone who's going to make me feel better?
Hello?
Oh, God. Don, how are you doing?
You called that one. Absolutely.
Mike,
I feel better off. Yes, Dennis.
I have a little credit card. You want my number?
Yeah, Dennis, I'll take your number.
Okay, of course.
Okay. Yeah, off the air. Yeah, I'll take it from you so I can pay my phone bill.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Pay off your balance at a certain gauge.
What's that? I should, Dennis. Dennis, can you help me? Can you do that?
Well.
Can you help me manage manage my bills?
Oh, if you want me to help you, I will.
Very good.
Why don't you come over to Mike's house this weekend?
Dennis, how about this weekend? We just recreate what we did about a week ago.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, great.
You have
right. I'm so calm right now. This would normally stress me out, but I'm so calm based on everything that's happened today. It's just, between the guy that was ready to kill me on the road, I don't know.
Don't worry, Mike. It will get better.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, yeah, it'll get better for you as soon as I put that blindfold on.
Absolutely.
As soon as you see these girls up, let's talk to Susan. Hello, Susan.
Hi. How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Good. I'm so thrilled that I'm talking to you guys. Mike, I have a tip for you on paying that bill.
Yeah?
All you have to do is give them a blank check, and they'll take your ABA routing number from the bottom and the check number, and they should pay it right away.
Ah, very good. Well, the payment is easy. I don't have the right, but none of my credit cards are working.
And they're telling you to give them the number off the bottom of a check.
Yeah, just use a check. Don't use a credit card.
You would assume that I carry checks around, and I don't carry checks. So, I really...
Maybe one of your good friends, Mike or Buzz, would... Don or Buzz would let you use one of their checks.
Can I go on record here for just a second? Okay, I am employed,
I
make a decent living.
I'll float you a loan, Mike.
This is not necessary.
You're good for it.
I'm going to take. I'm going to take care of this.
Do you need some cash?
No, I don't need any cash.
We can help.
I got cash, but I can't.
Do you need some dough?
$1. Just got paid.
Just got paid.
Friday night.
No, I mean, really.
But thank you.
Do you want a valid credit card to get your phone turned back on?
No.
I trust you. I know where you work.
I understand that. I've got a credit card that'll work. I'd rather not have to have a bill come to you that I'm
Why? Fine. I'd love it.
No.
Frankly, I'd love that hanging over your head.
Unacceptable.
Would I love that for the rest of our lives to be able to say, don't you forget that time they turned your phone off, I paid to have your phone turned off.
And how long before you think the phrase, down on your luck, would enter into the conversation? I'm not sure that would happen. My God.
Got it right here.
Don, that's not necessary.
I'm sure it's good.
That is not necessary.
Just carry it in your wallet for future reference. Okay?
Good advice.
Thank you. You mean carry around a blank check?
In case you ever need it for this kind of situation.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Bye.
You sure?
No, DOML is not... He's not needing that right. Down on my luck is not...
Sure, I got it right here for you.
They don't take that one.
They don't?
Nope.
Okay. About that one?
Yes, they take that one.
Come on, really. Turn your phone on.
No, I'm not...
Your phone. I'm not busting your balls.
I'm not. They're turning. They're turning. Let me explain something.
Turn it on. Use that. Get them to turn on right now.
They're... No.
Please? No.
I'm doing this my own way, man. Let me tell you something
I'm
pulling out of this hole my own way.
You might be out of a phone all weekend.
It doesn't matter to me. I'll deal with it. I have cell phones.
Okay.
I have cell phones. They're all, to the best of my knowledge, they're all working. I was certainly able to make the call telling me my other number was disconnected.
Okay.
And then I called my wife. She has a cell phone, too. And I called her cell phone, and that is obviously in the car, and she's in the house.
Okay.
Totally oblivious to the fact that our life is crumbling as we speak.
My limited offer... My offer has a limit.
I understand that. And I appreciate the generous offer. I do. I truly do. But it's not necessary. I will pull myself out of this abyss.
I tell you what. I know you're going to be on the telephone during the next commercial set, trying to call your wife, trying to call the phone call. If you really need it, I swear to God.
I know.
I'm here for you.
I understand that.
Anytime you need a handout.
Nice.
Anytime you need a helping hand. Back on your feet.
Thank you very much.
I'm here.
Thanks a lot.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, with those incredible gambling debts that I have. I will take that under advisement.
You know, whatever the reason it is that you're in this dire financial strait.
I know. I understand that.
What with your credit card being turned down.
I know. We're going to be overhauling the system shortly. This weekend.
Good luck.
I think that, I'm going to make it, man.
Okay.
I'm going to make
it. Well, I applaud that. That's the all-American pull yourselves up by the bootstraps.
I'm here. I'm in control, gentlemen. Everything's going to work out.
I'm going to give you a last resort. Save face.
Right.
You could probably call your mom.
Yeah.
You could call your mom, and that way,
so, you know,
no one would have to know.
People don't realize that, you know, when people say they're on a fixed income, you know, I think that's overblown. And I think she, you know, what does she do?
Right.
You know, she goes to she volunteers at the children's hospital, comes home, eats very small meals. She's probably got a, you know, she's got a few thousand.
She's got enough to help you pay that bill.
Of course.
Sure.
All right. That's exactly what I'll do.
Well,
I'll
I know you will
get
noodle
my mother up.
You will noodle it through during the next break. Well, at least that way no one would know.
No one would know. She always.
It's not like your mom's ever going to call the show and say, hey,
no.
Remember that time that you didn't pay the phone bill?
Absolutely, and I've done things for her. I get her, you know, I got her a cake last year. Absolutely, you know, fantastic.
Do you want to talk to any more people about this?
Sure. I mean, I've got it under control.
Here is Mike. Hello, or I'm sorry, Lewis. Lewis wants to talk to Mike. Lewis.
Hey, Don and Mike, long-time listener here.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, Mike, what you can do is you call the phone company and tell them you already sent out the check by mail.
Oh, really?
What they'll do is they'll reconnect the phone and give you 7 days to get the money to them.
All right. Okay, that's a thought. You know, but what they're doing is they're opening it. It would take, no matter what, it would take an hour or two to reconnect the phone.
Right.
They
and
say
so,
that,
so,
but it's on instantaneously.
It's on instantaneously?
You know, I believe that, too. I believe that they can just go back and turn a switch. It's not like they have to go into a basement and reroute a bunch. It's not like Ernestine on Laugh-In, where she had to, you know, plug all those things in when she was the operator.
You know what I will do is I will do that thing, saying it's in the mail, and then because then we'll get a checkout, you know, in about 14 days.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lewis.
Very good.
All right,
thank
night.
You for your help, Lewis.
Good
thank
night.
You for helping me while I was down on my luck.
Anytime.
Thank you.
The charity of others, Mike.
That's true.
You know what? I'm starting to feel like Jack Diamond
right
now. That we're doing like a charity show today.
You know, one of the things is, though, and this has always been the rap on me, and I know you know this, Don, and I say this from my ticker. Sometimes a guy, you know, sometimes Mike O'Mara can just give too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. You know, it's my constant giving to others.
Okay, all right.
You know, it's what I do. It's part of me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Paul, do you know about the early days at the Kimberly Diamond Mines? Do you know what they did to the native workers who stole diamonds? Don't worry, they didn't kill them. That would be like junking a Mercedes just because it had a broken spring. No, if they caught them, they had to make sure they could go on working. But they also had to make sure they could never run away. The operation was called hobbling.
Amy, whatever you think I'm about doing, please don't do it. Amy, for God's
sake. Shh, darling. Trust me.
For God's sake.
It's for the best.
Amy, please!
Almost done. Just one more.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
George!
Bottle it, stick it in an IV, hook me up.
Pardon me?
What does that mean, George? You're talking in that strange speak you always
bottle it, stick it in an IV, hook me up. I noticed since I've been listening for the past hour,
yes,
your endorphins are secreting, and I've been getting to know you guys for the past 11, 12 years, and I noticed that you guys have been celebrating life so much that it's easy to be euphoric, jolly, almost. Like everything, like every day's Christmas. That's why I didn't call you for a year, Don, because I wasn't in that mode.
Yeah, George, I want to tell you something. I didn't mention this to you off the air, because frankly, it's easier sometimes to talk to you on the radio
right.
than off the radio. I was, I was hurt by the fact that I had talked to you for regular chats all the way for 2 years.
I know.
Put in the wood for you to get the gig in Chicago. The last I hear is that you're off, and then boom! You drop off the face of the earth. For a whole year, I don't hear one goddamn word from you.
But it had nothing to do with professional reasons or lack of gratitude for getting me the gig. First of all, I didn't know that.
It's not the gratitude, man. I just, you know, I worry about you, George. I want to make sure you're doing okay.
But see, at the same time, and it's terrible because I was thinking, well, thank you, because personally, if I didn't take your advice, I would be single right now in a major market in a concrete jungle. But miserable, shallow, nothing, no family, you know what I mean? I could have had it, I could have done it, but here I'm in Spokane, I bought a Crossman 760 yesterday.
He's losing me a little bit
there. I planted a couple of partridge in my backyard.
Shocker.
And I got my 6.5-year-old here, my wife, and that's living, man.
Now wait, hold on, but tell me something. Now what, if you stayed in Chicago, you don't think you would have stayed married?
You know what, No, you mean back when I was in D.C. and everything, you know, when I was going...
Oh, way back then, when George... You know, George, you guys were just going through a rough spot in your marriage, like lots of people do.
Yeah, you know, like Howard and Allison and everybody. Mm-hmm. Even though I thought they'd stay together forever, too. I mean, I've been through the same thing as you and Frieda. Hey, Don...
What, George?
I thought this would be the perfect time, and I finally think I got you. And this isn't bragging rights or anything. It's actually very, very sad. But can we... Can I name a mark, the first market I've been in, then you name yours, then I name mine, then you name yours, and see if I got you finally?
What do you mean, the number of markets worked in?
Yes, exactly. Can we just do it, like, right now?
Oh, off the top of my head?
Well,
well sure. I'm sure I'll still kill you, though. I mean,
okay.
I've worked almost everywhere.
$6,000.
All right, George. I'll bet you $6,000.
Ready? I'll
Ready?
Start.
Go.
Merrill, Wisconsin.
Rockford, Illinois.
DeKalb, Illinois.
Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Ocean City, Maryland, my friends.
Let me just stop right here. Has anybody noticed how much my friend George McFly is starting to sound like Lewis the retard?
Yeah.
What?
Very much
I mean,
so.
Yeah,
sensitive, but
a little.
George, the steroids that you took, did they... Is your voice higher?
No, I mean... I don't know. I am
or maybe are you wound up? You get wound up when you want to when you're going to talk to us, right?
You know what? It's true. I am a little hyped.
Okay. All right.
And,
yeah. All right.
Listen, what's your sleeping schedule like? Because you're doing a morning show now, right?
I haven't slept in 4 nights. Well, that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, it's one of those times. I have that SAD syndrome, that seasonal affective disorder, and it's hitting me hard. Can we keep going real quick?
I thought that happens. No, George, I don't want to listen to that. Okay, frankly,
listen,
I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's a wonderful idea.
I'm positive. I've worked in more radio markets than you have.
19 cities, 17 years.
I've been well. You beat me on the number of time.
Right.
You did it faster, but I'm positive I've worked in more markets.
All right, that's listen, all. I think, you know, whatever. It's not impressive anyway.
I think everybody listening to the show right now wants to know first and foremost, you, George McFly, how's your head?
All right.
What happened at the station in Chicago? Why'd you leave that station?
Because I can't be bought, and I'll never compromise myself. And Chicago's my hometown, and I moved back for the third time, and then I felt like a stranger in my hometown. I'm at that age, I turned 36 in September, where all my friends are married with kids now, and you think you're going to move back, and you're going to see everybody, and it's going to be the same, and it wasn't. It was just a weird experience. And then at the station, I started out with some freedom. Then I didn't have any freedom at all. And then I felt like I was doing nothing. You know, I was playing all these stupid games again. Remember what you tried to get me, you know, out of?
And you mean like rhyming? Were you rhyming
again?
No,
it wasn't rhyming, but it's time now for almost impossible trivia and all that stuff. Because that's, you know, that was that top 40 format, that quick pace.
How did you end up going then from Denver to Chicago to Spokane?
Fired in Denver.
Right. No, we knew that. I'm just trying to trace the odyssey.
Wasn't
here.
There something in Denver where, with your wife and your family, where you were... Didn't you tell George to stay in Denver at
yes.
a certain point? And
yes,
because
his wife's family was from the Denver area.
And your Joan didn't want to leave Denver, isn't that right?
Right.
And you were thinking about leaving, and then Don kind of talked to you out of it, and then you got fired anyway?
It was my choice. The program director sat me down, and he said, well, what do you want to do? But did I want to be complacent? Where I had, I was so bored, and I was doing afternoons, and it was all music, and it was that rap crap. And it gave me no ability to, and you guys are the ones, you know, Don, you're telling me one thing, stay in Denver, but in the same breath, you're filling my ego with things like, if you were half as funny on air as you are off air, you could be a star. So then I thought,
but what I said to you is true. If you're half as natural on the radio as you are off the radio, you'd be gangbusters, but there was no reason that you had to leave Denver in the first place to do that.
I know, but I get hyper and impulsive, and that's why I'm actually here. They called me, and I was a little bit bored, and I just said, okay. It was strange.
You're talking about Spokane?
Yeah.
So how did your wife feel about moving to Spokane?
She's numb. Just numb.
She's numb. Was she enjoying Chicago?
She was okay with Chicago, just getting a little more comfortable. You know, it's our 6.5-year-old in first grade now. I'm in fear that she's going to start hating her dad for moving her around. But that's why I already got my plan. I got it planned out already.
I think if anything, a 6-year-old would hate her dad for giving her enemas.
Well,
tell me about this. Why on God's green earth would you give your daughter an enema?
You know, Joan, said, you know, why'd you talk to Don on the air about that? People are going to think you're abusive or something, and I have to explain myself.
I know you're not abusive. Just why would you give your daughter an enema? I mean, I know you're into colon health and everything,
right.
But she's a little young for that, isn't she?
No, listen, she didn't go for 3 weeks. And again, let me reiterate, she wasn't almost able to walk any longer. She was just stuffed up. I don't know, genetics?
You think about taking her to a doctor?
Yeah, maybe take her to a reputable physician?
Insurance didn't kick in yet, and DB, dead broke. I mean, not a penny. Okay, and so I went out and bought a fleeter with some pennies that I literally had.
What's a fleeter? What's that, like a...
Fleet enema.
A fleet, okay.
Yeah, fleet enema. It's like one of those, you know, one-shot deal things.
Right, and...
Sorry, I know about that.
I can tell you, it was magical, Mike. I mean, it really was. She barely held it, and then bam. I mean, a record breaker, though, guys. I mean, you don't understand how that could come out of a 6.5-year-old.
You know, and let me tell you something right now. I want to ask you about this, because, I mean, in all seriousness, I give you this, you know, as the father of a 4-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter.
Right.
You might want to just double-check before you do that again that medically that's something that you should do with a kid that young, because I'm not sure whether that's the best thing to do for a kid that, you know, I'm not sure, but I think just check with a physician.
Mike,
even call an Ask a Nurse line.
Mike.
Yes.
It's not the green fleets or not the orange with mineral oil. It's the blues. And the blues.
I don't know what you're talking about. I hear enema and I just think it
and
might
I
be.
Don't know about the psychological ramifications of daddy
right.
putting something in.
Yeah,
in,
I know.
The blues are for children
and
3 to 8.
I just like,
oh, okay. All right. So it says it on the package that it's for kids 3 to 8.
Yeah. And, you know, kids get so toxic if they don't go. But listen, it's okay.
We could
drop it because let me just point out
that the reason I know about this is when George called me after a year absence.
Right.
He called me on Monday morning, 5 a.m. Spokane time, and he said, "Hey, I'm in Spokane.
Right.
Can I call you up on my new morning show today?" And I said, "You know, of course, George. I'm always there for you."
Right.
So he calls me up like 3 hours later. Mm-hmm. He's on the air. And he brings it up to me on the air.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hey, I'm playing my guitar in the studio. I'm on the air with this girl I'm working with.
Right.
Incidentally, I gave my 6-year-old daughter, Emma, her first enema.
I don't know if it was like that. I think you were leading me down the primrose path. You,
no, George, there'd be no way that I would know that you gave your daughter your six-year-old daughter an enema.
No, because, Don, I recall you saying something to me like, "How's your colon?" And then I said, "Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, that's how it went." Then I said, "Well, I haven't gotten any colonics recently, however."
Right, so it's my fault. Okay.
A little bit. And then I got in a little bit of trouble. I mean, my bosses thought I was cool, and they were psyched up that I'm here. However, they said, you know, Don was leading you in a little bit of the wrong direction with the G.I. Joe thing and everything, but...
Oh, of course, it's my fault. I'm the bad guy. I gotcha.
No.
I'll tell you another thing that George told me. See, all of this is about the conversation I had with him on his radio show.
Mm-hmm.
We were discussing the guy who was the program director of a station in Chicago who is a kind of an asexual guy.
Okay.
And I said that guy is like a G.I. Joe, that where you should have genitals, he's just smooth.
Oh, okay.
He has nothing.
Oh, they shouldn't be uptight about that.
No,
too.
It was nothing. I mean, it was no big deal. It was more of the fleets and the enemas and, you know.
Yeah, okay, well, that's...
I can see them getting a little uptight. To be honest with you...
That's on you, not on me, George.
I think I'm losing a little extra hair listening to you talk about that.
I mean, on my first day. You know, you're supposed to, on your first day on the air, I heard in the past, it's supposed to be the analogy of, like, you're walking into a party, and instead of saying, "Hey, here I am, listen to me," or "Look at me," it's like, "Hey, how you doing? Good to meet you. How you doing? Good to meet you." I kind of signed on a little strong, so I hope they didn't take offense to that.
Who gives him these stupid analogies?
He's worked at how many radio stations have you worked at, George?
18, 17 years.
18, that's where, you know, I'm sure you're going to pick up some stuff.
Here's another thing.
That was Matt Farber or Alan Goodman?
Here's another thing that he mentions to me. He says, "Listen," when I talked to him off the air on Monday morning, he says, "A part of the reason that I had trouble getting a job was your fault." Saying this to me. I said, "Why?" He says, "Well, because everybody in the industry listens to your show, and they heard me on your show, and they think I'm a flake."
Right.
I said, "George."
George, come on now. You are a flake.
True.
And isn't that exactly what I said to
yes.
you, George?
Yep.
And what Mike just said, I said, "George, you are a flake, and I think that is a positive."
And that's what got me the gig. Bruce, our general sales manager that I worked with in Kansas City that knows me very well, too, he went into the general manager's office when he literally almost was not going to hire me because he heard I was a flake. And Bruce said, just like you, "Yeah, of course he is. That's why you got to bring him here." You know, I mean, what's normal anyway? I mean, wow.
Right.
Right. So you haven't slept for 4 days?
I have about 4 times a year. I have about with some massive insomnia. And it's because my mind spins, you know?
Yeah, you're just thinking all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially, you know what? It's a new job. I think it's fairly normal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lately it's always been a new job.
So how is the new job going?
It's great, man. I mean, they're playing my guitar. It's fantastic.
You play your guitar on your show?
Yeah, and you can talk about hunting, fishing, boating, camping, small town life, just being myself totally. You guys would be so proud. Oh, I love it. You know, I think
so
I'm
manic.
On my home. I know it's been 3 days, but I think it's not going to be any of those phone calls anymore where I'm calling you from another state again.
You think this is home?
I think this is it.
Really?
How long do you think you'll stay at the station?
Honestly?
Yes.
Well, even the teacher threatened me. She said, you know, please, you know, your daughter is behind in reading and writing. Can you please tell your husband? Or she told my wife to.
I don't ever remember George saying this at any station he's ever worked at.
And that's why
Never have you made that kind of a comment.
The bear inside of me is sleeping. I use this Legends of the Fall philosophy. Because even though I don't look much like Brad Pitt, I have that animalistic inside, that character of Tristan, where sometimes it's raging and I got to call Don and he calms me in a way.
He's so cuckoo, man.
you know, where he brings me back down to...
he is so freaking cuckoo.
Life. And,
is it worse than it was?
Year,
yeah.
I'll go
yeah.
off and
yeah.
I'll be a little wackier.
I mean, I'm really fond of him. I think he's a tremendous guy.
I like him too. He's a good, a nice guy.
And he's a good guy.
He's a fun guy. He's a fun guy.
Just listen to him.
For my past. But that's not real.
Listen to
him. Just like artificial, weird, male menopause.
What the hell is he talking about?
For me, being 36.
Yeah, he's talking about a lot of things.
Right. Do you guys go through the same thing ever?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you ever write
Absolutely.
Like Mary Lou Kozubutski a letter that you might have dated in 85 because it was the salad days and it was so innocent, but it really wasn't back in 85? So back in 85 when you like dated this girl, it wasn't really that special, but then when you're going through a little manic phase...
Hey, George, George, where's Joan at?
She's here.
I put her on. Let me talk to her, please.
Okay, real quick. Joan? Don wants to talk to you real quick. And Mike...
I don't really see how Georgie's doing now.
Yeah.
Talk to his better half.
Hello.
Hi, Joan. How are you?
Good. How are you, Don?
Yeah. Oh, Mike's here, too.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi, Joan. How you doing?
Good.
How is that kooky husband?
I'm surviving another move.
How is your
ready to kill the guy.
I'm ready to kill him. All right.
You're hanging in there,
either
Joan.
Either it was divorce or move, so I had to throw it up in the air and decide.
You know, he sounds kookier right now than he sounded over the last couple of years. How would you rate
kookier?
His...
No, actually, he's better.
Oh, he's better.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, he made a comment about he really thinks
he... You know, those drugs are kicking in. He's doing better.
He said he really thinks he's home, and does he really feel that way?
Oh, no, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he feels. We've been here a week. How could he, you know, home my... Oh, you know, I can't...
She's the reality okay. trim, right, of this gotcha. Partnership here.
All right. Actually, it's nice. It's that small-town living. I think he just needed the escape from the big cities for a while, so he's just chilling and relaxing. Cool. It is beautiful here. It's nice. It's a nice place to raise our daughter for a while, so we'll see what happens. I don't want to pull her... I'm more concerned about her. I can't be pulling her out of school anymore.
Yeah, beautiful.
So,
right on.
Thank God she adjusts really good. So she loves her new school, so I'm hoping she can continue through the year, and we'll decide then. But
well, George is so lucky he's got you, Joan.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I mean that seriously.
What?
If George didn't have you, I'm positive he would be locked up in a straight...
Oh, yeah, or in a mental institution.
Straight jacket.
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right, well, good talking to you, Joan.
Oh, the gay landlord's here. Gotta go.
Nope. Okay. The new landlord is here.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Bye, Joan.
She's the coolest.
She is the coolest. You got a great woman there.
You're very lucky, George.
She must be very in love with you to have hung in there with you with all this moving around.
Well, it's cool. Not only is it like a high school sweetheart, but she gives me the freedom to be totally honest in knowing it's a passing fad. Knowing that I'm not going to follow through with those weird feelings that I get once in a while when I write my music or call old friends and old girlfriends and stuff. Because
I'm
very monogamous. It's not about sex. It's just about... What?
I said you're out of your mind.
What I'm just trying to say in the relationship, I dig that she allows me that kind of freedom, like in Mr. Holland's Opus. Did you guys see that flick?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he could have went for Gene Kelly, that beautiful chick from 1980, But, you know, he decided, you know, he loved his family just like I do. So, yeah, me and Joan are friends, and it's a good deal. I can do something up big time by moving around like that. And
okay.
You're the one that was responsible for my settling down. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. I hope you stay there.
Good luck to you. I like the fact that you're happy, and it sounds like, you know, you're painting a nice picture of Spokane. Sounds like a real nice town.
I hope you do enjoy yourself there, George. I hope you latch onto this radio station. I hope the town embraces you. I hope you become the goddamn king of Spokane.
Here, here.
I hope so, guys. I fatigue you, don't I, in a way?
Yo, you definitely fatigue us.
Yeah, big time.
But I don't mean to, and I don't even want to do my show like that. I know I staccato talk and talk very fast, but I want you to not laugh at me. I want you to respect me. I want you to be proud, Don.
Oh, I can say, without question, I've never been prouder.
There you go.
Never been prouder than I am right now.
You're a good guy, George McFly. You know that.
Well, Mike, I think you're the best, too, man.
I mean, you are. You know, when we worked with you, you are a nice, nice guy. And, you know, you got a great wife and a great daughter, and I hope everything works out.
How many records an hour are they making you play?
I'm so lucky. The less, the better, he says. He said, if you play more than six, you're not entertaining. Guys, this is fantastic. I mean, of course, my long-term goal is to be like you guys, where you're totally on all the time. However, my emotions get in the way sometimes.
So really?
When I get a little down in the dumps, I have bad shows. When I'm celebrating life, I have good shows. You guys are consistent. I haven't learned that yet. I don't know how you turn it on and off like that.
All right, George. Okay. Listen, glad you're there. Stay in one piece, for God's sake.
Good luck to you.
And I feel like you guys think I'm weird here.
We always think you're weird. That's always normal, George, and accept that. You're talking about the honesty. Accept that. You know, we like you and we think you're weird. Those two can exist very comfortably together.
I know. It's just that I put you guys up on pedestals, and yet you worry about me, and that worries me.
Okay, George. Whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us again when we have these few moments on the analyst's couch.
All right, goodbye, George.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
I'll try to listen to you in my car if it comes in.
Okay, yeah, 790. It comes in. Everybody in Spokane gets it.
Oh, I thought it was 97.
No, it's 790, George.
Okay, very good. I'll see you guys later.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye, George.
Love you, Don.
Love you, George.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, guys.
Wow.
Wow.
Christ.
Good luck.
Well, he sounds different than he did before.
He does. Yeah, he sounds more wound up.
I do believe he hasn't slept for 4 days. I do believe.
Yeah. And, you know, I like the little picture he painted of Spokane. And, you know, he'll be there for another couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Right. I never got out of him how long he thinks he'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
How many radio stations are in Spokane? Hopefully he could just stay in the town of Spokane.
Sure.
And just, you know, be the radio pauper going from radio station to radio station.
That can happen sometimes.
To radio station.
So you got to log a pretty good year at one place to do that.
Yeah, okay. You want to make a bet right now. It's October 27th. You want to make a bet that a year from now... Well, let me ask, is there anybody in this room who would be willing to bet that in a year from now, George is still working at the same station?
I would, for only one reason.
Why?
See, same station, no. Spokane, yes. Same station.
Okay, I would take you on the bet of Spokane. Cause frankly,
I would say he'll be in Spokane because I think that, in this case, the influence of the daughter is mm-hmm. legit.
And the reason I don't think it'll last a year is because school's out for summer.
Right.
You want to bet?
Yeah, I'll bet.
Okay. I'll bet you won't.
Same city, not necessarily same station.
Same city. Okay.
Same city.
Okay. Robbie, write that down.
You got it.
We got to have that documented.
Absolutely.
That next October 27th, we'll check in and see where George is living.
I'd like to go on record and say that I made that bet for the entertainment value of the show.
And we appreciate it.
If I was really, like, wagering, that bet would not have been made.
Should be some motivation for George.
Absolutely.
Stay where the hell you are, man.
That's good.
Life is good.
And it'll motivate him. That I'm the one saying, you know, that I think he's going to stay, and you're thinking there's not a chance. That will, in his weird, sick, twisted way. Isn't he the kind of, he kind of goes the opposite direction.
Yes.
It's weird, very weird
thing. As a matter of fact, I might bet you $20 right now that he's going to bus to L.A. by the end of the week. By Friday, he tries to get a job at Power 106.
Absolutely. You know, and you heard Joan. He's only been there a week.
Yeah, only a week.
Yeah, well,
only
good luck to him.
Well, we have people on the phone from Spokane who want to talk about George. Okay, Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hello, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I'm a 50-year resident of this little bedroom community,
and it scares the hell out of me that you bastards ran him into Spokane.
Come on, he's okay.
He'll grow on you.
And there's way too many radio stations in Spokane. He could stay here for a while.
All right, good. Well, that's good. Well, that's a good sign.
Officially, I just want to make sure I say this. Officially, I don't endorse anybody listening to his show. Since we are officially on a competing station in Spokane, I know that our station would appreciate us saying that. I'm sure whatever blah, blah, blah in the morning is on 790 KFAN is the station you should listen to.
Absolutely.
So, well, I don't know if he's on the same station that you guys are on here.
No, he's not. No
he's on some other station. He's on some station that plays a box of records.
Oh, okay.
All right. But
the only thing that may save us here is we do have a chapter of Hell's Angels, and maybe they'll find him and run his butt out of town.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Harland.
Yeah, hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Mark me down as another person who's not really happy about George being here. We got enough crazy bastards in this town. We don't need him.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking the people of Spokane
Absolutely.
To give him a chance. He's a good guy, even though I know he's crazy.
Sounds he's wacko. Like... You can tell.
He's a good guy.
Okay. You can tell.
Thank you. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
Mike?
Hi. Hi there.
Hi. This is Susan.
Yes. Hi, Susan.
You know, I was driving home from work, and I heard George, and I was, on the one hand, I was really scared, but on the other hand, I was really happy, because now I know what I'm going to be for Halloween.
What?
Man, I'm going to be George McFly. Scare the crap out of anybody.
I am very surprised that the reaction
is. This is the first time we've gotten this type of reaction to him.
I jog early in the morning in the dark, and a lot of times I get scared if I hear something, or I see another jogger come out of nowhere.
Right.
I had that feeling in my chest and my stomach while I listened to him. He is really scary.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh,
really, that's the third in a row.
Okay. Well, sorry about that. He's my friend. I've got to stand by him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a good man.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
I want to tell you something. If George is listening to this right now on the radio, thank God he can't get this station at home.
Yeah, really.
This is the kind of thing that would make him, really, he'd eat lead.
Yeah, he's very upset. He was upset about it one other time when we were talking about seeing him out in L.A., and we talked about this, and, you know...
Very fragile.
He's very fragile. I'm sitting here, you know, waiting to say, you know, and we really don't mean I can't.
It's very fragile. Yeah, hello, Don on Mike's show.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant. He sounds like a coked-up freak talking about giving his little girl an enema. Great job, guys!
Wow, that's somebody who's not very happy.
Why is the great job guys thrown our way?
Wait, we didn't do anything. We just talked to the guy.
Hello.
We just talked to the guy.
Jesus Christ. Great job, guys.
Nice going.
Okay, all right, well. Our audience, as you can tell, is very enamored with our friend George McFly.
Absolutely.
Wow. Great to have George on the show again.
All positive.
We will be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mike Huey Lewis on the news?
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically.
The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost.
He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
In 87, Huey released this. Their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpieces, Hip to Beat Square. Song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul!
Please, no back talk. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, it's my birthday.
Oh, yes.
Babies.
Hey, hi, baby. What is your name?
Laura.
Where are you from?
Fairfax.
Oh, you're very breathy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm excited.
How old are you today, Laura?
23. Yeah.
And the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Janine Garofalo.
Oh, baby.
Oh, he's motivated now.
Baby. You know, she's a pig, but I do like her. I rated her very highly again.
Mm-hmm. No.
Do we have the new ratings in the book, incidentally? Or are these the old ratings? Robbie, are these the old ratings?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, we don't have the new list. We don't have the new list up yet.
No.
I think I gave her at least a five. You know, I hope very soon that we'll be able to give you the address where everybody will be able to write in and get the official list of rankings for the millennium.
Ball is rolling on the printing of those things.
Yeah, they're at the printer right now.
Cool.
All right, well, you now, will you be a good girl and pull down your pants, please?
They're already down.
They're already down.
Oh, she's been a bad girl.
Yeah.
Now, can you fill out a pair of trousers like Janine Garofalo can? A pair of corduroys.
Yeah.
Can you test the stitching on any pair of slacks?
No, not like that.
Okay.
But...
All right. Okay, good. Well, I guess I'm ready. I'll use the frying pan on you.
Yee.
Would you bend over and be a good girl, please?
Okay.
And, you know, I'd like to have you respect my frying pan.
Oh, believe me, you'll get it.
All right. Here we go, baby. And one. That's right. Two. Three. Four? Five? Tell me what you want to be hit with.
Oh, anything.
Say frying pan.
Frying pan.
Seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. Mike?
Time to get out the canoe paddles.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, where were we? 11?
11.
All right, I'm ready.
12. 13. 14. 15. 16. 17. 18. 19. 20. 21. 22.
One more.
23.
How is that for you? The dogs seem to enjoy it.
She's scared. She doesn't know what I'm doing. So.
Maybe. No.
We do.
It's not like the dog's never seen you do that before. Let's be honest. It's not like the dog's never been involved in that with you. Let's be honest.
Ooh, you're a naughty girl.
Oh, yeah.
I remember exactly where I was when I first read The Happy Hooker.
I was
on the 7th grade bus going to Surrattsville Junior High in... goddamn Prince George's County, Maryland, which is the armpit of Maryland, out in Clinton,
Maryland. And you got your hands on the Happy Hooker, huh?
We stopped at 7-Eleven. For whatever reason, the school bus stopped at 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy went in and bought a copy of it. And he brought it on the bus. And we are amazed. We were reading it aloud.
Oh, wow.
Every day on the way to school and the way home school, someone would read on the bus. And when they got to the part where...
Reading is fundamental.
Yes, it is.
In this book, The Happy Hooker, she had sex with the German Shepherd.
Yes.
And
one of the famous parts of the book.
That's wrong.
When she read that.
That's wrong. Yes, it is.
I mean, the bus erupted with laughter. We had never heard it. It has stuck with me.
Sure.
To this day that I remember everything about that.
Is that the first naughty printed material that you ever read?
It had never crossed my mind.
Right, absolutely.
The thought of a girl having sex with a dog, it never had crossed my mind.
Absolutely.
Now, of course, I think about it 5, 6, 7 times a day. But back then...
Now you get emails about it.
Wrong on so many levels.
Oh, I could not agree with you more, but it's one of those memories from being a kid. Don't you remember the Happy Hooker book, too, when you were a kid?
No. The book I remember is The Herod Experiment. And I think my sister brought it home from college, believe it or not. She was, and I remember... You know, the cover made me like take a look at it and read stuff, and it was amazing. I mean, I remember the one sentence that was in there. It said, "His thing felt big against my belly," and I was just like going,
"Oh my God, I can't believe that." That Happy Hooker book. I remember the cover was pink. It was a paperback, pink cover. Right in the middle was a little round picture, like with a doily around it, and it had her picture.
Yeah.
The name of the book, I think, was Call Me Madam.
Right.
Okay.
Nasty looking.
The lady. Happy Hooker.
Yeah, lady with been through a few things.
Yeah.
That lady.
Kind of looked like Susan Johnson.
Valera Holland.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kind of looked like that girl that gifted.
She still write that column for Penthouse.
Yes, she does. As a matter of fact.
And she's still with us.
Yeah. I guess she is.
Hi. She'd be the aged hooker now.
Yes, she is.
Christ, she was a little long in the tooth back then, and I'm talking about when I read that book with my friend, 7th grade. I'd be like maybe 1972.
She's been at it a long, long time.
No, here she is now, Mike. Oh, dear. The Happy Hooker.
Oh, good.
She's going to call out for one of her Johns here. Listen. Hold on, here it is.
Oh, John.
Calling up one of her Johns. Thank you. Hey, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got an idea. I want to see about getting some help on it from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I want to write a screenplay. I started it for the King of Queens episode, and it's going to feature you guys as guests.
All right, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You won the bet. The bus leaves at midnight.
Is this George again?
George again?
I tell you what. You know what's funny? Because I went out to the wife's car this time, and I did hear it. People can be so cruel. However, first impressions are hilarious because maybe they didn't hear of anybody on a little bit too much caffeine that just moved from the Midwest with a slightly energetic personality. So a year from now, if they do choose, maybe, hopefully, to get to know me, they'll laugh back and say, God, didn't we think he was weird and crazy?
George.
But don't, all it was George, was maybe just a little wound, a little...
Okay, George, listen, what? You gotta discount that. Don't even let that enter your head.
I want to win.
Me, I can't let it go. It was cruel, unusual punishment. What did I say? I'm a good, loving father. Gives his constipated child something to relieve her. Okay,
George,
good, loving husband.
George, listen. People say cruel things to us every single day on the show. You just gotta let it go, man.
And I want
to
win that bet, George.
I do like it here.
Okay, good.
I do like it here very much.
All right. Well, I hope I lose that bet. I hope you do stay in Spokane a year.
Stand tall with me and just at least let me... never mind.
All right. Okay.
I'm just glad that you got... Hey, Don, you did take my side. Mike, thanks for the compliments.
What?
Do I sound a little bit mellower?
What's he talking about?
Don took your side and I gave you compliments. What compliments you
No, you just said you don't know George. That's all it took for me to hear.
George,
I like
okay,
him.
Well, that's the truth. We both like you, George.
I want to tell you something, George. What people say about you calling up to a radio show means nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Could you imagine?
You don't know that by now. How long have you been in radio?
But a week before I took this gig, I wouldn't have gotten the gig based on what they said. That's a little crazy.
How long have you been in radio?
18 jobs, 17 years.
17 years. And still you don't know, you're not thick-skinned enough not to just not listen to that stuff?
Man, it's hard to take.
Oh, man.
Hard to take.
People have said things to us that are...
The cruelest.
I mean, beyond cruelty.
I've heard so much love. So much love.
Well, try listening to the whole show one day.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go out to the car right now.
Okay.
All right, George.
All right, goodbye.
Fantastic.
All right,
bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, George.
Bye.
I hope that's his last call today.
I really do.
Taking it out of me, man.
Oh, man. We did say that. We mean that. He's a nice man. Nice
Hello.
Guy.
Don and Mike Show.
Unleash the hound!
Oh, it's that guy.
Unreal.
Okay, that guy.
He's your new favorite.
I guess we ever...
He is your new favorite.
Officially, he is my new favorite caller.
Henri,
yeah,
Henri.
Yeah, I gotta come clean on that. He is my favorite. Hello, the Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what do you want? You're on the air.
Oh, hey, thanks. Yeah, I was on your bus when that book was being read.
Oh, you were not on my bus.
Dude, I was in the seventh grade.
Please.
Some guy in the back of the bus, really gritty kid, wearing a Nick Huff jean jacket.
Okay. You can't say the F word.
Oh, yeah?
How old are you, sir?
I'm 28.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, right. I'm 40. Unless you were like Doogie Howser, there would be no way you could be on that bus with me in seventh grade.
Okay? Matter of fact, I am Doogie Howser.
Right, okay. Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don. You mentioned Michelle Pfeiffer earlier in the show.
Yes.
Have you seen the movie 1,000 Acres?
No.
I've seen it.
Michelle Pfeiffer and Jessica Lange?
Yeah.
In there, Michelle Pfeiffer is topless, and she has had a radical mastectomy on the left side. Do you know if that's special effects or if that's real?
I think it's special effects.
Special effects,
yeah,
genius.
Thank you, though. What Thank the you. Hell is that?
Goodbye.
Man, go back to the internet.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Man in the moon is smiling. Cause he's in love. Man in the moon is smiling. Cause he's in love with a girl in the world. That's for you, Mike.
That was for you, Mike.
It's not my guy, though. I don't believe.
It's not
your. I want to be your guy.
What?
I want to be your guy.
No, Mike's already got a guy.
No, and that performance.
Mike loves Harry Connick.
Yeah, but no, I like Harry Connick. I don't like that particular Harry Connick song.
Well, which one do you like?
Listen, I want to tell you something.
I know you
like that
so well.
I can tell by the sound of your voice that you're really in love with me.
I just want to tell you, Mike.
You are. And you are.
Yeah, that's the one I like.
You're going to make your other guy very jealous.
I know.
Now.
I didn't mean to do that.
There
he got
you
me with
go.
The second song's the one I like.
There you go.
I apologize.
Right. There you go.
Right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
What's your timer, Mike?
I'm just so easy.
Hello, Don. Mike Show. You know what you are? You're the show slut.
I know. I am.
That's what you are.
Anybody. You know, a man gives me a nice look, I'm with him.
Hello.
The bird is the word. The bird is the word. The bird is the word.
Is this your guy?
Bye. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Nope. No. No. Seems to be a really extended family.
There's too many singers today.
Yes, too many.
Too many. As Andy Rooney said. Last call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, I listen in Iowa, right?
Yeah, right.
What's with the deal sending all the rejects here? First Magic and now Dennis?
Well, you know, Dennis got the gig through the radio station, and he's a quality entertainer.
Right.
Quality entertainer.
Iowa's the farm system, sir.
You guys are sweet.
Thank you.
All right, man. Goodbye.
All right.
Calling him a goddamn tractor? I mean, did you hear that background noise on that guy?
Yes, it was sweet.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it. Organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a 45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
I'm in the waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive. And you're the last person I would want to perpetuate it.
Fine.
There's no mafia.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got the Friars thing queued up for you guys.
You got the what thing?
The Friars thing with Kevin James.
Oh, I don't care about that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's
hello.
Only, it's only an hour.
Hello. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, really.
Right, Buzz. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sam Huff.
Hey, Sammy.
Did you guys like to know whose DNA is there in the studio?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to know that.
Whose is it, Sam?
Larry Michael. Who else?
Larry Michael? Wow. Really?
Why would it be Larry's?
Yeah, because Larry's come up with a short end of the stick every time.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
Thank you, Sam.
That was Sam Huff, the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Donnie Simpson. Kiss it. Just kiss it.
Okay, thank you. Hello,
that
Don.
That was not Donnie Simpson.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, I just want to give B. Arthur a shout-out. Shout-out!
Sure, okay. I want to read you something out of a book.
Very good.
You know, I love the book of lists.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I love it, and the guy who wrote it sent me the advance copy, and I read you the list of boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since I read that list on the air, this guy who lives in Northern California, his name is Stephen Spikenzi.
Spikenzi!
And he's written a book that's better than the book of lists.
Okay.
He's written a book called The Odd Index.
Okay.
And this guy sent me a copy of the book because he knows how much I love lists,
mm-hmm.
And he said we give him a plug. He promises he would dedicate his next book to us.
Very good. Now, what is this book? What is in here?
This is like a book of lists.
It's a book of odd?
Except it does the book of lists times 1,000 because
right.
It has disgusting lists.
Really?
Funny lists. Great lists. I went through and I read part of it this morning before we came in. For instance, this guy, this is one of the ones that's not dirty, but I know you'll like this.
Mm-hmm.
This guy went through Three Stooges movies.
Oh, really?
And he noted every time in a movie that one of them hits the other one.
Wow.
For instance, in the movie Disorder in the Court,
right?
They hit each other 19 times. Here it is in order of how it happens.
Okay.
Moe pokes Curly in the eyes with his index and middle fingers. Moe slaps Larry in the face. Curly falls backwards out of the witness stand. Larry shoots a cello bow arrow into the court reporter's mouth using the cello strings as his bow. Curly slams himself in the belly with a cello. Larry removes a guy's toupee with a violin bow. Curly slams Moe's foot with a hammer trying to kill the toupee. Moe fires five shots into the toupee with a revolver.
It is so funny when it's written down. That is great.
Moe hits Curly in the head with a conductor's cue. Curly slaps Moe on back, causing him to swallow a harmonica. Curly and Larry play Moe by pumping his arms up and down. Moe hits Curly in the head with a hammer. Moe inserts Curly's head into a letter press and begins tightening it. The steel tightening wheel on top of the letter press spins rapidly backwards, flies up in the air, and comes down on Moe's head. Moe pops Curly on top of his head to pop it back into shape after it's compressed in the letter press.
Oh, man.
A parrot lands on the heads of five jurors, and Curly hit each one on the head with a hammer in an attempt to subdue the bird.
Yeah, trying to kill the parrot.
Larry smashes the Stradivarius with a hammer. Moe instructs Curly to grab his own ear, and then he drags him around as Curly holds onto his ear, making a convenient handle with his arm. And finally, Curly soaks everybody in the courtroom with a fire hose.
Yeah.
That's a good list.
That is a terrific list.
And that's not even one of the really great ones.
Oh, that is fantastic. I mean, really, who would have thought? I mean, you list all the acts of violence in the Three Stooges
that's
movie.
Funny.
Okay, Eddie Murphy, Delirious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this the one where he had the red suit on? The really funny movie?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Delirious, the one where he says, I know
I think
that...
so. The leather suit.
Hey, Fred, I would know that you want...
I think that's it.
Okay. He counted every time Eddie Murphy cusses.
Okay.
In that movie. What do you think the number one profanity is in the movie Delirious with Eddie Murphy?
MF.
No, Buzzy.
I was just going to say the simple F word.
It's the S word.
Oh, okay.
He says it 132 times in the movie.
My God.
Number two is the F-bomb, 94 times.
Right.
Then you have Mother Effer, 55 times.
See, I thought that was number one.
Mother Effing.
Right.
46 times.
Wow.
Ass, 17. Effing, 16. Bitch, 14. Hey, 14. He's a cat. 9.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, 5. Effed up, 5. N-word, 5. Faggot, 4. Bull S, 1.
Only one BS.
Only one bull S.
That's amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. Way to go, Eddie.
Then he says, let's compare that to his movie Raw.
Okay. That was the one after Delirious.
Right. What do you think the number one expletive was in the movie Raw?
F.
Buzz.
Oh, gee, I'll say S.
Yes, he loves S.
He loves S.
Hmm. 103 S's.
Oh, still getting it up over, 100.
Right.
Number two, again, is F.
Mm-hmm.
92 times. Mother Effer, number three. He's very consistent.
He is. It seems to be, the same writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows pretty much all the way through. Total expletives for both movies.
Oh, good.
921.
Hey, all right, bring it home for the kids.
Love that.
God, okay. I mean, I remember that was a big source of controversy when that movie came
yes,
out.
It
that,
was.
The knock on Eddie was that that's all he was doing.
Bill Cosby gave Eddie Murphy a hard time for the profanity
that's
in his
right.
concerts.
Okay, hold on, let me see.
Now, this is not a funny list, but a list that we can definitely use on this show.
Okay.
IQ list. This is really the list that tells you how smart you are.
All right.
If your IQ is 141 or higher, you're a genius.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 111 to 140, you're superior.
Mm-hmm.
91 to 110 is normal. 81 to 90, dull. And that is the definition that they give
dull.
You. Dull.
Dull. You're dull. We got a few dull people around here.
Mm-hmm. Borderline is 71 to 80.
And when they say borderline, I mean, you're borderline, like, out of it.
Forrest Gump.
See, now, we always had thought, because Forrest Gump has an IQ of 75, that
that's
he
right.
was a moron.
Mm-hmm.
Officially, he's borderline,
mm-hmm.
because to be a moron,
yes.
technically, your IQ has to be 51 to 70.
51 to 70.
If you're 26 to 50, you're classified as an imbecile.
Okay.
And if you're 0 to 25, officially you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually use those words.
Yes.
Imbecile. You idiot.
So imagine that. We've been using moron as the worst form of intellectual harassment,
mm-hmm.
when actually imbecile and idiot are much better put downs.
And you know, speaking of Three Stooges, they used to use those words in the
all
Three Stooges shorts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we took the IQ test here, Charlie Broyhill was the clear winner.
I
mean, going away winner.
Yeah, it was a shocker.
Frightened all of us.
Mm-hmm. And I know one guy, Rob Spiewak, who still is upset about that.
Sure.
Freaked out. The fact that Broyhill had a higher IQ than he did.
That was very, very scary for Rob.
Here's a list.
What's a rematch?
Here's a list. 25 euphemisms for alcohol.
25 euphemisms for alcohol.
Good. Okay.
All right.
And a lot of these I bet you haven't heard before.
All right.
Bitches Wine.
I haven't heard that one.
Bug Juice. Coffin Varnish. Cold Coffee. Colorado Kool-Aid. Dutch Courage. Embalming Fluid. Jungle Juice. Mexican Milk. Nanny Goat Sweat. Panther Pig Sweat. Sif Maker. Potato Soup. Prairie Dew. Prune Juice. Shampoo. Snake Juice. Snake Poison. Squaw. Strip Me Naked. Tarantula Juice. Tiger Sweat. Tonsil bath, witch.
Man.
Wow.
I never heard of any of those.
Man, prairie juice.
No booze or hooch.
Nope. Yeah, I mean, where's booze?
Oh, they didn't make the list.
Huh. I guess it wasn't weird enough.
Then he's got a whole section about girls and guys who are naked in movies.
Really?
And it says it does better, one better than the book, The Bare Facts, that we read one day on the air. Let me see. Everybody from Kim Basinger to Kirstie Alley. Oh, here's one for you. This is the one that I want to select to read to you. Kathy Bates is naked in a movie.
She is.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, my. Hey, Buzz, I didn't know you felt that way about Kathy Bates.
That's right. The movie's called At Play in the Fields of the Land.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that
movie. 1991. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see. She won an Academy Award for playing Annie Wilkes in the movie Misery. She appeared in several respected films. However, in the movie At Play in Fields of the Lord, total frontal nudity for Kathy Bates. So
really,
so if you're doing nothing this weekend, yeah. You know, you get an extra hour because you put the clocks back.
You sure you got that movie right? Because I thought it was another movie.
What'd you think it was?
Free Willy.
let me see. Corbin Burnson, Valerie Bertinelli, Linda Blair,
Alyssa Milano.
No, I don't see her.
Damn.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Tyne Daly.
All right. Nude?
Yep.
Really?
Let me see. 10 years before her breakthrough as Mary Beth Lacy, Tyne Daly appeared in a little-known movie about an impotent husband who hires a gigolo to keep his young, voluptuous wife satisfied. This has to be one of the roles that Tyne Daly is sorry she accepted, but for her fans it is noticeable because she is topless 7 times in the film.
And they said that she was his young, voluptuous wife. She's described as young.
1973.
Really? I was going to think maybe when The Wizard of Oz was made.
The movie is called The Adulteress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to look for it? Susan Day.
Yeah, she's been nude a lot.
Patty Duke. Robert De Niro. Sally Field. I was surprised to see that.
That she's been nude?
Yeah. But it's only her ass that's in a movie.
Okay.
Mel Gibson.
I bet I know the movie.
What?
I bet I know that Norma Rae.
No, a movie called Stay Hungry.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She was in a bra in Norma Rae.
Didn't they go skinny dipping in Norma Rae? And you saw the guy's butt.
You never see her butt. You see that guy. What's that guy's name? That guy.
That actor. We always do
guy.
This with that guy.
What's that guy?
The guy's got the big face.
He's got the big face. He's got a huge nose.
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
Oh, and he was married to somebody famous, too.
I don't know. Okay, don't
somebody will know that.
That's
what's great about doing this show.
That's right.
We talk really. You want to talk about low IQs. Don and I do that like two absolute idiots. We'll get somebody that'll call in and know.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? Christ.
It's not Judd Hirsch.
No. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon. I was just calling regarding the topic they're discussing right now.
Right.
And I heard Mike mentioned Alyssa Milano. He seemed to be upset that she wasn't in that book.
Yes.
Well, actually, she was. There is a movie that she is.
I did get there is the movie.
Thank you.
Robbie, you got the guy's name?
Is it Ron Liebman?
Yep.
That's him.
That's him. Thank you, Robbie.
Married to somebody famous, and I forgot who.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Bill. How are you? Tommy. Get over here. I haven't seen you.
How you doing, Billy?
Jesus Christ almighty. You terrific.
Are you serious?
Watch this suit, you little prick. Yeah. Hey, I know you all my life.
All right, good.
You're getting too big on me now.
Don't go busting my balls, Billy, okay?
Hey, Tommy, if I was going to break your balls, I'd tell you to go home and get your shine box. this kid was great. They used to call him Spit Shine Tommy. I swear to God. Oh, he make your shoes look like mirrors. Excuse my language. He was terrific. He was the best. And he made a lot of money, too. Salud, Tommy.
No more shines, Billy.
What?
I said no more shines. Maybe you didn't hear about it. You've been away a long time. They didn't go up there and tell you. I don't shine shoes anymore.
Relax. Where you foot crying out? What's got into you? I'm breaking your balls a little bit. That's all. I'm only kidding with you.
Sometimes you don't sound like you're kidding. You know, there's a lot of people around.
I mean, I'm only kidding with you. We're having a party. I mean, I just came home. I haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm breaking your balls, and right away you're getting fresh. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you.
I'm sorry, too. It's okay. No problem.
Okay, salud.
Now go home and get your shine box.
Mother! You!
Come on. Tommy gets a little loaded. He doesn't mean any disrespect.
You don't mean any disrespect, Henry. Are you nuts? He's just kidding, little manners. Hey, Jimmy, what's right is right. You understand what I'm talking about?
It's all right.
No, I mean, the kids over here, we're hugging and kissing over here, and 2 minutes later, he's acting like a f***ing jerk.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
No, I didn't insult him a little bit. No, I didn't insult nobody. Give us a drink.
Okay.
Come on, let's have some drinks, all right? Drinks on the house. Come on, let me...
Yeah, no, have the drink with me.
No.
Come on.
Billy.
No.
Drinks around the house.
Come on.
House. I fuck kids like that. Take
break up my party.
I've been away for 6 years.
I did my time, Jimmy. I came home, and I want what I gotta get. I got mouths to feed.
Pretty good.
You understand?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Must have been my shoes.
Oh, please don't be looking for him.
Bad. What are we gonna do with him? We can't just dump him on the street.
Don't worry, no place up safe. I'll never find him. Come on, let's get some more tablecloths. How do I get blood on your floor?
Go open your trunk.
The Don and Mike Show.
A lifestyle-oriented program. The Don and Mike Show.
John Lennon. Naked in Movies.
See that.
Rob Lowe, Madonna, Rob Morrow, Suzanne Summers, Sissy Spacek, Sylvester Stallone.
Jack Palance.
Sylvester Stallone, it's his porno movie.
That's right.
Party at Kitty and Studs, in which he's totally nude throughout the film.
Yo, I'm here to deliver your pizza.
It's available for rental and has achieved cult status.
Hey, I'm the stud and we're having the party at Kitty's house.
Yo. Okay, here you go. Odd things that people eat.
Odd, just generically odd uh-huh. things that people eat.
Okay. Baked armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
Baked bat. Baked cow heart. The Chinese eat bear's paw stew, in which a bear's paw is cut into chunks and simmered in a pot with ham, chicken, and sherry. Norwegian people enjoy beef blood pudding.
Mm. Oh, that's gross.
The French enjoy beef udder pot roast. The Hawaiians enjoy broiled puppy.
Oh.
Puppies are broiled flat over hot coals and served with sweet potatoes.
Oh. Broiled puppy.
The Japanese enjoy broiled sparrows.
Oh, man. Well, you know.
Indonesian people enjoy coconut cream marinated dog.
Ah! Well, that's not as bad as the puppies.
Let me see. The French enjoy cow brain fritters.
Now, see, that's the French know how to make everything taste good.
Let me see. The French enjoy, you want to rethink that, Mike? The French enjoy fish sperm crepe. Fish sperm is baked in crepes with mushrooms, butter, and cheese.
Oh, man.
Hungarians.
I bet that's hard to swallow.
Hungarians. I bet you could find some on the walls here. The Hungarians enjoy fried calf's head.
Well, all right.
I know you've heard of this before. The Chinese like fried grasshoppers. This one they attribute to Americans.
You know, on that list, I would love to know what everybody would try. You know, would you try? Is there, you know, there are a few things on the list I would certainly try.
I would try a grasshopper. I think I've eaten on the radio before, like chocolate. Insects have been covered in chocolate.
I don't think I would. I don't think I'd eat the insects, but I'd certainly try the bat. You know, but I would not try the puppy.
This one they give Americans credit for. Fried turkey testicles.
I've eaten those.
The gonads are coated with breadcrumbs and fried in olive oil or butter.
I ate some kind of testicle. I don't know.
The French enjoy...
That didn't sound good. That didn't really sound good. I was... were we at the same restaurant when they served that, or was I on vacation? I think I might have been in Arizona.
I don't know.
But they said it was some sort of testicle.
Here's a good one for you from the Irish.
Okay.
Your people.
Yes.
Pig's face and cabbage.
Pig's heads are part of, they would boil a pig's head in Irish.
The face is baked with seasonings and served with boiled cabbage.
Nice face.
Let me see. Pork testicles and cream. Shark's fin soup. The Ghanan people enjoy stewed cat, in which a cat is fried in peanut oil and butter and simmered in a pot with red peppers.
I'd eat that.
The French enjoy stuffed calf's eyes.
I'd eat eyes.
Let me see. Stuffed cow spleen. Chinese enjoyed sun-dried maggots.
God!
That's right.
Maggots are dried in the sun and eaten as a snack or a side dish with a meal.
This is a theme show today.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel that queasy feeling again. Did you say sun-dried maggots?
Yep, that's right. All right, let me go to a more pedestrian list.
You don't want them raw.
Let me give it a more pedestrian list. Oh, here you go. What real personality characteristics of the astrology signs?
Okay.
So in all the crap, this is not a joke list. This is like serious.
Good. Real stuff.
For instance, I will tell you, it says from me, Virgo, it says the positive trait is organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree that I'm very organized.
Mm-hmm.
Negative trait is obsessive compulsive tendencies.
And I think
for me, that's absolutely right on.
Right.
Now, what are you, Mike?
Cancer.
Cancer. It says cancer, positive trait. Creativity, no doubt about that.
Right.
Negative trait, self-pity.
Self-pity, oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
No, big time, no kidding. And Buzz, what are you?
I'm a Libra.
Libra, let me find you. Libra. Buzz, positive trait, judgment. Negative trait, indecisiveness.
Oh, my God.
This is right on, isn't it?
That is weird.
Buzz, Robbie, what are you?
Pisces.
Rob is a Pisces.
I think when Rob...
Positive trait, compassion.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Negative trait, weakness. I mean, I swear to God.
Wow.
This is the most right-on astrology, at least with the people on the show.
What is Broyhill?
That's a good question. Let's find out what he is real fast.
You got to find this out.
I don't know what sign he is.
That is a phenomenal list.
What is he?
CLI Taurus.
He's a Taurus?
Taurus.
Okay, CLI Taurus.
Like my father.
Taurus. Oh. Positive trait, stability.
Mm-hmm.
Negative trait, stubbornness.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's weird on the show. That's pretty spooky. Right on,
it's
isn't it?
It's very, very weird.
That's a pretty good list. Okay, well, we got to do a break.
That's weird.
Let me give you one more. I'm going to give this book another plug. The book is called The Odd Index.
That is wonderful. I like that book.
The guy is a huge fan of the show.
Mikey Rockhead, just to get his sign, to find out.
Okay, out what sign Rockhead is.
Positive trait. positive trait. Stupidity. Negative trait. Stupidity.
Where is he? Where's Rockhead? What is he?
The age of Aquarius.
Aquarius. That's another different one.
Good. Okay.
Positive trait, wisdom.
No.
Okay, this is where it's off the scale.
We're going to have to live with that.
Negative trait, perversity.
See, I knew it was worth going back to. Hey, where'd it go, Mikey?
Okay, I got one more for you, okay, because I know we have to do a break. The 26 stages of deterioration a corpse goes through.
Oh, good.
From the moment you die.
Man, I love it. Bring it on.
The moment of death.
Yeah.
Your heart stops.
Mm-hmm.
Then your skin gets tight and ashen in color.
Uh-huh.
Then your muscles relax. Then your bladder and bowels empty.
Oh, yeah.
Then your body temperature begins to drop.
Mm.
After 30 minutes, your skin gets purple and waxy. Your lips, fingernails, and toes fade to a pale color.
This is creeping me out.
Well, it's almost Halloween month.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
Blood pools at the bottom of the body.
Mm.
Hands and feet turn blue, and your eyes sink into your skull.
Mm.
After 4 hours, rigor mortis sets in. The purpling of the skin and pooling of the blood continues, and your muscles tighten for another 24 hours. After 12 hours, you're in full rigor mortis. After 24 hours, the body is now the temperature of the surrounding environment. In males, after 24 hours, your semen dies. Your head and neck are now a greenish-blue color. Mm. Then the greenish-blue color spreads to the rest of the body.
smell of fuck, a pervasive smell of rotting meat.
Oh, God.
And the face of the person is essentially no longer recognizable. This is after 24 hours.
Really? Wow. Not recognizable.
After 3 days, the gas in the body tissues forms large blisters.
Good.
The whole body begins to bloat and swell. Fluids leak from the mouth, nose, vagina, and rectum.
I don't want to die.
And after 3 weeks, Mike, when you're really in the ground, skin, hair, and nails are so loose they can easily be pulled off the corpse. Skin bursts open in many places on the body. And decomposition continues until the body is nothing but a skeleton. A process that can take a month in hot climates. Mm-hmm. And 2 or 3 months if you're buried in a cold climate.
So it happens that quickly?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what accounts for when they, is it disinter somebody? Or they actually dig up the...
Exhume.
They exhume someone? And
they must do stuff from their bones, I think,
you know,
right?
I remember the case of Medgar Evers, where they went back to get evidence in the trial for his murderer,
right?
And they exhumed the body, and he was almost totally preserved.
I think that speaks of quality embalming.
Is that what it is?
They get all the fluid out, and then they replace it with like alcohol and stuff that doesn't decay.
Formaldehyde.
You're quality embalmers, Mike.
Yeah, I've already got mine, and I can give you a business card if you want a good
one.
He
speaks the same way if you're talking about a good clothing retailer,
or if you're talking about some stupid cartoon that was on the air 20 years ago.
That's why he's brain spiewack.
Not as large an IQ as Charles Broyhill, though.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Actor Rob Liebman, he was married to Linda Lavin, TV's Alice.
TV's Alice is a guy.
There you go. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Lucky man he was.
What beautiful children.
Hello.
Oh, no.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hey, Mike. Alyssa Milano was nude in Embrace with a Vampire, and she actually did like a pseudo G-rated lesbian scene.
You know, I heard that, and then Charlie Broyhill told me there's another movie that he keeps telling me to rent that's got Alyssa Milano in it, and I forgot what the name of that movie is. Charlie will know what that name is.
Who's the boss? She's all her nude scenes with Tony Danza.
Practically right. Run. It's the fastest moved in 2 weeks. Yes.
Hugo Poole.
Uh-huh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name of that movie is Poison Ivy 2.
Wait, all your friends are calling now.
Is this another Alyssa Milano thing?
Yeah, she's naked in tons of movies, Mike.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
I had to call. Now I have two reasons to call you, because originally I called the wrong radio station and started going to the spiel about how I'm from Hawaii originally. We do not eat puppies. And now I have a message for you from the DJ from the other station.
What other station did you call?
WJFK. I mean, WMZK. MZQ.
Oh, the country station.
Yeah.
Want to try one more time, maybe?
Well, I called him and told him we don't eat puppies in Hawaii, and he was like, what are you talking about?
He probably thought you requested some stupid country song. Hey, it's coming up by Glenn Greenwood, We Don't Eat Puppies in Hawaii.
Eat puppies in Hawaii.
Well, now he has a message for you.
Yes.
He said to tell you that he's Puerto Rican and they eat fat Irish guys. But anyway, that's...
What?
I don't know.
What, ma'am? Ma'am, you know, you just
hung up.
God.
Yeah, I really don't know.
The best.
Wow.
Don't know.
MZKQCD.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Richard, what were you doing?
I'm going over some documents.
Where are they? Jeez, I don't see them.
They're in my briefcase. I thought you were getting pizza.
They were closed. How could you be reading documents when they're in your briefcase? That's a mystery. Richard, were you watching Spank Provision?
Okay, then, let's hit it.
Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
All right, then, let's get some shut-eye.
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Good for her.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Couldn't tell you.
Richard, who's your favorite little rascal? Alfalfa? Or is it Spanky? Sinner.
Richard Hayden?
Tommy.
So where's my dad? I thought he was going to meet me at the airport.
He was at the airport this morning, but you weren't on the plane.
He said he had a surprise for me.
Maybe. I guess you should have called.
I did call earlier when using the phone.
Earlier, when was that?
Later, when I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4...
Niner, five, six, seven, eight.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way I see it, Ted. Guy puts a fancy guarantee in a box because he wants you to feel all warm and toasty inside.
Yeah, makes a man feel good.
Of course it does. Why shouldn't it? You figure you put that little box under your pillow at night, the guarantee fairy might come by and leave a quarter. Am I right, Ted?
What's your point?
The point is, how do you know the fairy isn't a crazy glue sniffer? Build model airplanes, says the little fairy. Well, we're not buying it. If he sneaks into your house once, that's all it takes. Next thing you know, there's money missing off the dresser and your daughter's knocked up. I've seen it 100 times.
But why do they put a guarantee on the box, then?
Because they know all they sold you was a guaranteed piece of shit. That's all it is, isn't it? Hey, if you want me to take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, I will. I got spare time. But for now, for your customer's sake, for your daughter's sake, you might want to think about buying a quality product from me.
Okay, I'll buy from you.
Alex! What?
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, did you guys get a load of that Regis show last night?
I did, and I thought it sucked.
Ooh. That is about a waste of airtime that I've ever saw in my life.
I love game shows. I love all game shows. I really do. I love watching game shows. That is the most tedious exercise in pathetic game show lore you have ever seen.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Is that your final answer? And then I'm going to have to, because I don't know that Baghdad is the capital of Iraq.
I need to call my brother, Timmy.
I had to call my brother-in-law.
That's so lame. All right, this is Rich and Chico. I'm signing off.
Thank you, Rich.
It was so horrible.
I feel out of the loop because normally I'm all things TV, but I forgot to watch the show last night.
I was so disappointed because I was almost going to call you at the end of the show just to say, was that the worst thing you've ever seen? It was so... The big problem is all game shows should move at a fairly quick pace. That's the whole
right.
thing.
Like Jeopardy.
Say what you will about Jeopardy, moves at a very fast pace. Mm-hmm. Wheel of Fortune, moves at a decent pace. It's got its system. But the thing is, with this show, it was so... Not only do they get to have these lifelines where they can call a family member, or they can get a 50-50 choice, or they can poll the audience for a very simple, stupid question.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
At the end of all that, when they finally... And they give... I guess they give the contestants unlimited time to hem and haw to make a decision, including that obese lady who was sitting there last night saying, "Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, what should I... I'll say Baghdad."
There's no time limit?
No. There doesn't seem to be. No. And then... I'll say Baghdad, and then after all that, she's called her brother to get that answer. She finally decides she's going to go with it. Is that your final answer? It's like, shut up! What is the result?
Yeah, he says, he asks every time if it's the final answer.
Oh, sucks.
And a sneaking suspicion that Regis is really not capable, because, at the end of any game show, it says, and it's best like on the Match Game, portions not affecting the outcome have been edited from this program.
Right.
The disclaimer last night, I taped it because I didn't get home in time, so I'm reading
I wish we had that luxury on this show.
The portions not affecting the outcome of this show.
If we didn't like something, we could go back and redo it. But, Don, that would be impossible because every show is perfect.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're right, Mike.
Thank you. And incidentally, today's ratings are in. Thus far, we've only been on the air 10 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Perfect job, Mike.
Same to you, Don.
Perfect job.
Great job.
Congratulations, boys.
Thank you.
Call us at UsReOKDodo.
But at the end, the disclaimer read, portions not affecting tonight's game have been edited and or recreated.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a couple of moments. It is a very tightly edited show. You can tell.
Insert
and you can tell that there are moments when Regis had cranial cramp where they had to come back in.
Can I take that again, please?
This music is driving me crazy.
Yeah, just little bits of Regis sneaking through that are just frightening and don't belong.
Yeah, but the total last night, on the $1 million show was $8,000. That's when they said, we're out of time. You'll have to come back to see if she'll be a millionaire.
Who wants to be a disappointment?
Oh, I can't believe I forgot to watch that.
It was so awful. I mean, it really was. And it wasn't awful because Regis was screwing up. It was awful because the game moved so slow.
Painfully.
You like to really get the results of something like this, but I need a lifeline. And then, they go to the audience, and, you see the audience.
No wonder the show is a huge hit in Britain, right?
And one of the things, what is a trawler? What type of transportation is a trawler? Is it a boat? a plane, a train, or a car. Now, a trawler, I think most people know, is a boat.
Right.
And so they go to the audience, and you got...
You know, you just ruined it for me. I was really thinking about that. Maybe I should call my brother Jim and ask him what he thinks. If he's not busy having my mom arrested today.
So they go to the audience, they have this poll, and the audience is, you know, kind of divided on this thing, and it's just, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It sucked.
It did.
It's so totally, totally sucked.
I can't believe I didn't watch it. Instead, I watched the Karen Carpenter Real Hollywood Story.
Well, you'll get to come back tonight and see if it sucks as bad.
And when I was watching the Karen Carpenter story last night, I guess that the Carpenter's estate, or which one of them is still alive? Richard Carpenter's still alive. I guess he didn't cooperate with the special.
John is still alive.
Because they didn't give a lot of footage of the Carpenters to use in the story.
Right.
So a lot of it was that reenactment stuff.
Norm is still alive.
Who is Norm Carpenter?
Oh, it was Norm Abrams from This Old House.
What was it, Carpenter?
Oh, Carpenter. All right. Shut up. I just threw a pen at you.
You know, the guy did all the grunt work. He's a very skilled carpenter.
I got it. Okay, I'm with you. Okay.
Tremendously skilled carpenter.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you've made me throw a pencil at you. Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
See what you made me do?
Now look at you.
See how you make me hurt you?
Hey, Bob, we're going to make some cabinets today.
I'm Bob Vila. I'll be doing nothing while Norm is up on the roof. You seen the commercial for Bob Vila for non-alcoholic beer?
No, I have not.
Where it's Bob Vila at a karaoke bar?
Bob Vila is somebody who's like a poster child for needing alcohol.
Bob Vila. He's singing a song about redoing your house.
Right.
Yeah.
He's singing?
He's singing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. It's one of those awful chorus commercials.
You know, they let Norm now on the This Old House Classics. I think they run them on HGTV.
Right.
They're on the weekend Sundays, and they let Norm do some of the promos. They do a lot of the setups, and they shouldn't do that. They really should. Should always shoot Norm from a side angle, because I think Norm has the vish teeth.
You know, he's got his own show.
He's got his own little cabinetry show.
Right. It's a Yankee wood shop or something like that.
Yeah, where he makes cabinets.
He's got vish fingers, man. He has Scott the Dwarf-like fingers. If you've ever seen a real close-up of his hands?
Absolutely. And I'm very fortunate that he's got all of those fingers, too.
You know a commercial I hate, a course commercial I hate more than the Bob Vila commercial? Have you seen the commercial with John Elway? It's not so much John Elway, as it is Dan Patrick sucking his ass?
Yeah, talking about John Elway and, you know, what do you expect me to drink? I never gave it a thought, a-hole.
I don't even get mad at that. I mean, that's fine for John Elway. Do your ad for the beer commercial. Mm-hmm. But Dan Patrick... It's like 30 seconds of Dan Patrick saying, he's the greatest football player ever. He did everything. He threw for everything.
Right.
Who is he? He's the man whose left gonad I'm husking on right now.
Oh, God.
Mr. John Elway. I mean, I don't know how he could have any respect for himself.
I hate that.
Dan Patrick, I mean, not John Elway.
There should be really almost legislation that all beer commercials, no matter good or bad, but they should all be humorous. They should not be serious. I don't think making a serious, like when you have... August Bush come out and talk about his family, you know, it's not America.
It's some goddamn PC thing that around the time when those commercials were really funny, when you had John Madden bursting through walls and stuff.
Classic. Right.
It was around that time that John Madden started to get some bad PR.
Right.
Because people said, hey, John Madden shouldn't be endorsing drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, the beer commercials have gone down, down, down in quality. This is not funny anymore.
That's right. They should all... at least strive to be funny, and no more serious beer commercials. I think serious beer commercials are an incredible waste of time, almost as much as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I will tell you now, though.
Oh, we have more calls. Hold on a second. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, is this Who Wants to Be an Us? Rio K. Dodo?
Right on. Hello, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to see if you knew the name of the other show that gave away $1 million one time.
The other show that gave away $1 million.
There was another game show one time that gave away $1 million.
I mean, was it a classic game show or was it like a contrived move?
Who was the host?
Jim Dating Game Lang.
Jim Lang, I have no idea. Brains, you got
an
idea on this
one? Show. It was an NBC. It was an afternoon show. On
what
NBC.
Was it? What was it?
$1 million chance of a lifetime.
It was just, yeah.
How long was it on? 5 minutes?
Probably.
All right.
How long Regis's show is going to be?
Thank
all right.
You. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello there.
Don and Mike?
Right on.
Hey, Did you catch the E! True Hollywood Story on Hervé Villechaize, tattooed from Fantasy Island?
No, but when I was watching the Karen Carpenter one last night, they were promoting that, and I really wanted to see it because they had, like, baby pictures of Hervé Villechaize. And when he was a little kid, when he looked virtually the same as he does now.
Yes. It was excellent. It has a lot. There's a lot of footage of him with the shirt off. Doing karate. And he was also into firearms.
I would love to see. And there I bet you have a lot of real footage of the real guy. Unlike the Karen Carpenter story, which is just so cheesy. And every 2 seconds, reenactment. Whenever they had somebody puking.
Oh, they had a reenactment of it?
And they had the grainy camera where you would see these bony hands open up bottles of laxatives.
Oh, no.
And it would all be, it's total recreation.
Was Peter Graves doing the narration?
No, it's on the E. That E exclamation point is the worst channel.
For love of vomiting.
And Steve Kometko doing the...
Hi, this is Steve Kometko, everybody. I'll tell you what I was going to say a moment ago. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
We were talking about the PC beer commercials.
Yes.
This is the worst PC thing I've ever heard in my life. I read this today in the newspaper. That in San Francisco, where all such crazy ideas start, there's a group of people out there upset. Now, you would think there are more important things in the world to get pissed off about than this.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned that people who own dogs, and like when you go to license your dog and stuff, you write down that you're the dog owner.
Right.
They want Congress to start legislation because that's not right, because you're not the dog's owner, because the dog has more rights than that. You're the dog's caretaker.
Guardian, I think.
And they said blacks have rights, gays have rights, women's have rights, minorities have rights. It's time for dogs to have rights.
I got your dog's rights right here.
When they learn to stop taking BMs in my living room, that's when I'll give my dog some rights.
You are the owner. You are. They are totally dependent upon you.
I'm not just the owner, Mike. I'm the slave owner.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm the slave owner, and those dogs are my slaves, and that's the way I want to keep it. I treat them good and everything.
Good. No, I mean, that's the difference between animals and human beings. Mm-hmm. You own animals.
Oh, I got pissed when I read that in the newspaper. These are people with, just I guess, no time on their hands.
You know, if you are not going to the pound, in many cases you're going to a dog breeder, and you are writing a check for that animal, which means you own that animal.
You're the owner.
And
you bought it.
I spent a lot of money on both my dogs, and I'll tell you right now, I am the dog's owner, and the dog still sticks his head, you know, halfway down my garbage. You know, and I hear this rustling, and I look into, and, you know, and I see a chewed on diaper in the morning. I know that it's neither Laura or myself that have been, like, eating the diaper at night.
I'm thinking of changing my dog's names now.
Yes?
Giving them all slave names.
Oh, God.
You know, like on Roots. I'm thinking about changing Colonel Kling's name to Kunta Kinte.
Just to drive home a point.
Just so I can make the statement that I'm the owner, they're the animals.
Yes.
Please. And these people, look, they put millions of dollars into a campaign now to get the public aware of this. And they're all going to be riding bicycles. Of course, all the nuts ride bicycles. They can't get in a car and get in an airplane. They're going to ride bicycles with their dogs from San Francisco to D.C. to get Congress to sign this legislation.
Caretaker.
Right.
Guardian is the word they want to
Guardian?
Mm-hmm. Guardian. They want the people to be guardians.
Legal guardians.
Animals. Right.
Listen, dogs can only see in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you say to a dog sounds like this to the dog. Please. It's a good relationship we have right now. They can't handle having rights like real humans do.
That's right. And I've met many human beings that you know, walk around with like a whole bunch of snot across their forehead.
No.
You know, not really any means. Well, Rob, I know
Rob.
You. Yes.
Hello, true. Robbie. Okay.
No means of getting it off.
It just really pissed me off. It's one of those PC things that just drove me crazy. And they're equating it to like women getting the right to vote.
Oh, that's sick.
Right, and
sick.
Equal opportunity and all that
that's
other
sick.
Stuff.
Right.
What? Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you saying it? Did I hear you squeal? Did I hear you squeal? It's not sick before we were done talking?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Honey, it's very sick. Thank you for calling us Re-Okay Dodo.
No, I just wanted to call. I have no reason for calling, actually.
Oh.
Except to say that I almost quit my job just so I could listen to you guys.
Well, good. That's very nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to get us into a nice little debate about this when you said it's not sick.
Well, it isn't sick.
Ah, have you, so you maybe
that, that
you
woman
have a,
can vote? Is that what you said?
No. She's a woman who should not be allowed to vote.
Absolutely.
I say take her vote back.
Try listening.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, Buzz, Robbie, the whole gang. Hey, listen,
Buddy.
Out here they're so freaky. The guy who's the head of the SPCA for San Francisco has little miniature hotel rooms. No lie, they put a little TV in there, and they each have like their own little couch. So when they're going to be adopted, they're more apt to be a good dog. And when you see these little rooms that they have for them, they've been in some of the local papers out here. You swear it's like a little miniature motel for these dogs.
And like I said, everything that's crazy starts in San Francisco.
Right.
I saw an article related to this that was talking about the same guy, the head of the SPCA or whatever this group is. They're all for animals. Where they did a side-by-side comparison of the homeless shelters for humans in San Francisco and the homeless shelter for dogs. And the dogs, like this guy says, they got little beds, they eat hot dogs, they get TVs turned on. Meanwhile, homeless people are sleeping on the ground.
Like a big room with cots, right?
Right.
Sure.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Hey, I would stay in one of these rooms, I mean, if they had a good deal on them. Goddamn, they're nice. I mean, it's a joke, these little bedwetting liberal guy that this guy's doing this. It's a joke.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Hold on.
I fancy myself as a liberal. Don't stick those people on me, please.
Here is my liberal bedwetting wife. Hello, honey. Yeah.
You know that Bart and I will be bicycling with our friends, our dogs.
Right, the dogs that we own.
No, we don't own them. If we don't own them, they could run off whenever they wanted to. They live with us because they got a good there, but they're
No, they live with me because I have a fence where they cannot get out, and my dog would run away if he could.
Yeah, honey, listen, please. You tell me we don't own them, and you put that inhuman electric fence collar on our nice dog Kunta Kinte.
We don't own them. I take him walks, and I take him off a leash all the time. He comes to me out of choice. He could eat me if he wanted.
Honey, I'm changing his name from Colonel Kling to Kunta Kinte.
Sugi, you don't own them any more than you own me.
I own that dog. I own you. I own you, baby.
Well,
you're my property.
We stay with you out of pity. The dog's in us. We've all discussed it.
Did you buy your dog?
Yes, of course we did, Mike.
Okay, then you own it.
No, I didn't. I paid to register.
No. Hold on. You bought Clink and you bought Max.
I have the papers on him, but you cannot own a living creature.
No, but you bought him.
But you did. But honey, you did because you went to a breeder and you paid money for them.
Yeah, you know what I still don't. Think
those dogs.
Own them,
listen, I love those dogs, but please, they don't have any rights. Those dogs are property, just like my couch.
Yeah,
just like my television set.
You purchased it.
Just like my satellite dish.
You wrote a check for the dog.
You could throw away your television set or your couch.
I could throw away my dog if I wanted to.
So could I.
You couldn't hurt them.
Oh, yes, I could.
You'd be arrested.
I don't want to, but I could. And I could throw them away. I could throw you away if I felt like it.
I can't hear you, boo-boo.
I said I could throw you away if I felt like it. I didn't think you'd kill me.
All right, when you have okay, maybe you do own them. So when we revolt tonight, you'll know why.
What?
I said, when we revolt, when you are murdered in your sleep by your loving family and
honey,
your dog.
Listen, honey, hold on a second.
This is getting very ugly.
Listen. Who loves those dogs more than me? Nobody. As a matter of fact, how many times do I hear this complaint when my wife comes to bed at night? That I'm talking so nice to the dogs that when she comes in the room, you know, she gets no sweet talk because I've wasted all my sweet talk on the dogs. I love the dogs, but let's be honest. They're animals. They're animals.
They are animals, but you can't own them because they could run away if they wanted
honey,
to.
Honey, we own them. They're our property.
All animals could run away if they weren't, like, restrained.
Honey,
And your TV and your couch can't run away.
We are dog owners. We're not caretakers.
No.
We're dog owners.
Inanimate objects you can own. Inanimate objects don't have any
you own
free will.
You own anything that you pay for.
Why can't you just be on my side in anything?
The dog
why can't you just be on my side? I just can't be a good wife. Be a good, obedient wife.
No, and I've told you, we're having a New Year's Eve party with dogs invited because in the next millennium, dogs are going to be, animals are going to be treated better than
you know,
they are in this millennium.
If you didn't own the dogs and you're saying they could wander away, that would mean you would never, like, acquire a dog. A dog would simply one day wander into your yard and then you would become its caretaker.
Honey, you bought the dogs.
No, just like a child. A child could run away if it wanted.
And you could buy a child if you wanted to on the black market. Mm-hmm. Then you would own the child.
And when a child is too young to understand, you restrain it. Yeah, honey, you put it in a car, honey, or in a playpen.
Honey, listen,
you
please.
Own the child.
Please, please, you're making yourself out to be one of these kooks.
Well,
you really are. You're a very bright woman, but right now you're unraveling, honey. They're animals. If we were hungry, we'd eat them.
They are animals. They have feelings. They are sentient beings.
I love those dogs, but I own those dogs.
No,
I'm the master.
No, they're not yours to do
as
you wish. You couldn't leave them in your car on a hot day. You'd be cited for it.
Yeah, but if your dog takes a bite out of some neighbor's leg, what do the police say? Where's the owner?
Right.
Who's the owner?
Well, just because somebody else calls it an owner.
Honey, everybody does.
It makes it so.
Everybody does.
Well,
listen. When dogs drive.
Not everybody.
And,
not me and the bicyclist.
Honey, when dogs drive and vote and. You know, run radio stations and stuff and go out and are functioning members of society, then I will give them the right.
You don't own children and they can't do all that.
And caretakers are people that look after other people's houses that own the house.
Honey.
Guardians.
Oh, guardian.
And you know what? Buzz is on my side because we've talked about our animals before.
Buzz is a fruit when it comes to this discussion.
I'm crazy as a loon.
Yeah, right. Buzz is not responsible in this.
Do you believe in this? Do you believe? Where do you line up on this, Buzz?
Well, of course he does.
I don't like arguments over semantics, and I think that's really what it gets down to. I think we should treat animals better than we do, generally, but, and I think...
Do you own your cats, Buzz?
I didn't buy them.
Do you own them or not?
If the police came to my house,
come on, Buzz, just yes or no. Do you own your cats?
You're a cop. You're at my door. Yes.
Yes. Did you hear that, honey? Say it louder, please.
If you're a cop and you're at my door, my answer is yes.
Not a cop. If you're in your heart, to you, are you their owner
in my
or
heart,
their guardian?
In my heart, I'm their guardian.
There you go.
Well, listen, why is this such a big deal? I love my dogs. I love them very much. But let's be honest, I'm the human and they're the animal. I own them. Honey, you could get the same stupid argument for your plants. Your plants are living things.
Should your plants have rights? I'll keep my plant opinions to myself because then I do kind of go off the deep end. I'll lose any credibility.
Really? Do you talk to your plants?
But I do talk to our plants. Yeah. I mean, our plants aren't being...
Do you own our plants? Or do they have rights too?
You know what? I can't, no. I mean, our plants, I wouldn't purposely kill a plant.
But do they have rights? Are you the plant's owners or are you the caretakers for the plant?
Guardians.
I don't know. I feed more to the plants. I'll have to give you a ruling on that one tomorrow.
I really think the most important thing is the way the dog would feel. If we're talking about that, are we agreed that the most important thing is the way the pet feels?
Okay.
All right. And the pet could care less.
The dog has no idea if he's if he's a slave or if he's a citizen.
Yeah. Semantic. Dogs could care less whether you are called owner or guardian.
Dogs just want to eat each other's poop and smell each other's butts.
No, it's just a word that a dog doesn't understand, so he doesn't care.
Right,
but
so
I don't think you can be an owner of anything with free will.
Honey.
But dogs don't have free will.
Yes, they do.
How can you say our dogs have free will when you installed the electric fence not only in our yard, but in our house, meaning if the dogs walk into the rooms where you have your nice furniture, they get electronically shocked.
I know many a dog who totally ignored an electric fence.
Honey, just answer the question.
You know what? I put the electric fence up for the dog's safety so they don't run into the street and get run over.
That's right, because you're the owner.
Then why did you put it in
the
house?
Because
Hold on.
The same way, I didn't put an electric fence for Bart, but I did other, you know, restraining
this
devices.
This is why it's awful living in my house.
I would say you
have these discussions all the time.
You didn't do it because you wanted the dogs. You wanted the dogs to stay in there because you wanted to protect the dogs. You wanted to keep the dogs because you like having the dogs around. You like owning
the
them.
Dogs.
Yeah, you like owning them.
Honey, when you
love
said
the dogs.
Honey, wait, you said you put the electric collar on the dog so that they don't run into the street and kill themselves.
Right.
Well, why did you put the electric collar in the house then? Why did you put it so the dogs can't go in the living room?
No,
so the dogs can't go in the basement.
To protect the cat because
answer for everything. Listen.
The truth.
Honey,
answer because they're true answers.
I need another slave name, please, because I need that name to change my dog Max's name.
Rob Spiewak.
The only slave that I know off the top of my head is Kunta Kinte. Who's another one from Roots?
Gone with the Wind had Big Sam and Mammy.
Okay,
Chicken
okay.
George.
Thanks
Chicken
for the
George.
Thanks for the help, Rob. Let's be a little careful here, okay, guys?
Also,
all right.
Also
very good.
From Roots, Chicken George was one
exactly.
from Roots.
Exactly. Okay. I like that. There that's better right. than Mammy.
Okay,
Chicken George.
Okay.
Listen, I'm just
everybody's helping it out now. Good.
I'm just
good
making a political right. statement.
I understand
Mike.
You.
That's
are.
Why I want to give yes. my dog slave names because I'm the owner.
Good for you. You go ahead and do that.
I'm the owner.
All right.
The dogs probably think of you as their slave, and that would be more accurate, because we feed them, we take them to the doctors, we serve them. They probably think of us as their servants.
All right, honey. Love you.
All right, love you, too.
Love you. See you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You know what I gotta do? I just gotta take every radio out of my house. I really do.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nobody!
Who is Nero?
Nobody!
Who is Jack the Ripper?
Nobody!
Who's the swiniest swine in the world?
Capital! Capital!
Who's the dirtiest dog in this wonderful world?
Capital! Capital!
Murder and loot, eager to kill an ape, who say that my hook isn't cute.
It's cute.
Who's the slimiest rat in the pack?
Captain Hook! Captain Hook!
Who's unlovable? Who's unlivable? Whose existence is just unforgivable? Who would stoop to the cheapest and lowest of tricks in the book?
Whiny, whiny, Captain
Hook! Who's the swiniest?
Swiniest!
The doggiest? Creepiest and the creepiest creep in the world.
Captain Hook!
Who's unsensible, reprehensible, whose behavior is just indefensible, who's the crawlingest, cruelest, crummiest, crookedest crook?
I'm Anita Horgar.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not
hey,
a wart.
I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Oh, good.
Isn't that something? I'm on to cigars now. Yeah, I'm onto a 5-year plan. I eliminated the cigarettes, then I go to cigars, then I go to pipes, then I go to chewing tobacco, then I'm onto that nicotine gum.
Good.
Yeah.
Money. I'll leave you blank checks.
Oh, no, please. I've got lots of money. I won't have any problem cashing a second party out-of-state paycheck, will I? The reason I'm saying is I've been so busy lately, I haven't been able to do my banking, and I don't think it'll be a problem. Don't worry
Let
about
me
it.
Just leave you the checks.
Well, only if it's comfortable for you.
That'll be easier.
I guess, sure. Do you have a plunger here while I'm thinking of these things for the morning? You know, my plumbing is just so bad. Well, of course, yours is a good plumbing here, right? Yeah, I would imagine. Yes, don't worry about it. You know, everything will be fine. Just been bound up lately. It's driving me crazy. I've been eating a lot of cheese for some reason. I don't know what it is. I got a craving for this stuff. And maybe that's an allergy or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't get enough cheese. I feel like a big mouse.
The Don and Mike Show. they will make your ovaries rock hard. Don and Mike.
Sometimes when she calls in, just really sets me off, man. Really does.
Well, she's very good at arguing. She
loves arguing.
She will go to the end, and you, I know you're no slouch in that department either.
No, but you know, even I got a point where I finally say, okay, enough.
Will she go to the death? She will fight to the death.
I guarantee you, tonight when I get home, this argument will be picked up at 7:35 as soon as I walk through the door tonight. I guarantee. Listen. I don't care what my wife says. That's a stupid rule. That's a stupid, stupid rule.
Are they winning out there in San Francisco? Are they winning
they,
this? Yeah,
they've got all kinds of support.
Oh, dear.
All kinds of support.
That's a shame.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
What's going on?
Hey.
I was wondering if you heard about ABC offering the WWF so many millions of dollars to change their time slot on Monday night so it wouldn't conflict with Monday Night Football.
No. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks.
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about that.
I'm still thinking about dogs right now.
Me too.
It takes a while to wind down after that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Only somebody from California could drag a dog across country and then say the dog has rights.
Yeah, really, exactly. If those dogs had their druthers, they wouldn't be going across country.
Right, they'd be sniffing other dogs' butts and eating.
Absolutely.
But I tell you, if a neighbor said that my dog bit him and the sheriff came over, I'd say, nope, that's not my dog. He has his own free will.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
You know,
show.
It does,
hello.
If they do succeed, I just realized it does open up an entire legal quagmire. It really does, because you could, if you ever had a problem with your dog, now why are you shaking your head? No, because you would still be the dog's guardian, just as you would be the guardian of a child.
Yes, but a guardian,
just as you would be responsible for the child's actions.
Yes, no, but it's just
like, when there's an adolescent, many times you don't prosecute the parents when the kid blows away the school.
That's changing.
It's changing, but it's still the law that it's not true.
The child's owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the dog's owner.
Same thing with the dog. If you're the guardian, hey, I'm not responsible for what my kid did. You know, put the dog down. I'm not responsible. I cannot be prosecuted.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, Radio God.
Put the dog down.
Put the dog down.
Put the dog down.
Put the dog down.
How you doing?
I'm such an old man saying, we're going to have to put the dog down.
Put the dog down.
Going to have to old yeller that dog.
Hey, the dog bit the neighbors. Going to have to put him down.
Put him down. Hello there, sir.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I agree with you totally. The only way I'd accept having the dog as a guardian is if I can claim him on my tax return and claim like $5,000 for rent.
Another fantastic point. I think that's another benefit.
Valid point. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hey, fine, my friend.
I have 2 points what your wife made.
What?
First of all, if she says the dogs have free will, correct? If they want to run the street, that's their decision. Let them run the street. Let them get hit by a car.
My wife was wrong about a million things in that discussion.
And the other point is, my parents own a kennel. We sell dogs. We own dogs. When a dog gets a job, buys its own food, cleans its own mess, bathes itself,
right,
then it can have rights. That's I own my dog.
Now, I would say that the answer to that argument, even though I am firmly on the side of ownership, I will tell you that the counter to that argument is very easy. You would say dogs, really, in a natural environment, could fend for themselves at a certain point.
Right, there are many dogs drive a car.
There are many. I'm just talking about like going out and eating squirrels and stuff like that.
I know.
You know, many wild dogs in America that just run in packs and they live on garbage.
Not my dogs. My dogs are so domesticated, so spoiled. My dogs couldn't eat outside without a knife and a fork.
I'm
serious.
Linen tablecloth.
Only table food.
And a waiter.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hi, it's Pat from York.
Yes, Pat.
I got a little twist in it. It doesn't have anything to do dogs, but it's a twist on the animal rights story. There was an article in a paper up here in York it might have been a year ago or so, where they were complaining about animal rights for animals that were about to be butchered. Well, that's the way the story started out anyways, and it seemed that it was a standard animal rights story. As you read further down into the article, the reason they wanted more humane butchering was because the meat was tough, because the animals were stressed before they were butchered, and it would make the meat tough.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
Isn't that
I'm all for tender
kind of
meat.
A strange twist.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for very tender meat.
I was reading something about in the post today about goose liver, what they do for foie gras.
Terrible. Really?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They jam this cornmeal mixture down the goose's throat.
Using a pipe.
Using a pipe. And
it makes it taste better, man.
It enlarges their, but yeah, I know you'd hate foie gras, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Goose liver?
I don't know.
Okay.
Put a sauce on it, might be okay.
Ketchup?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, my wife is such a nutto about that stuff. You know, sometimes my wife, when we're driving down the road, especially when we go to the Eastern Shore, when we see all those chickens in the back of a truck,
right?
My wife will then, she actually start crying when we're driving down the road, and she'll say, "We can't ever eat chicken again." I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Chicken." She really starts bawling and stuff.
Part of life.
Yeah.
Part of reality.
I said that's what they're here for.
When Carrie was out of town last time, she was stuck behind a pig truck for a while, and then she came home and she said, "I'll never eat pork again." I said, "That's all right. Keep buying it. It'll get at." So, but, that's, you know, it's the same thing. She
girls.
Don't eat pork, so.
That's right. Silly girls. It's very sad when they have to put those pigs down.
Silly girls. Hey, we got to eat, man. We walk on 2 feet. We walk erect.
Right.
We drive cars. We figure out situations, man.
We're
the eaters.
We farmed off all of our nasty business of that kind to packing houses and slaughterhouses, and we don't see it. You know, in the old days, you had to, you know, rip the head off the animals and skin it and eat it right there.
I love eating animals. I love it.
South Korea, of course, they eat dogs. In fact, they're, right now the lawmakers there are debating whether or not to re-legalize the eating of dogs in South Korea.
Sounds good, Buzz. I'd love a poodle sandwich.
Yeah, it had to be a poodle. Didn't it?
Well, sorry about that, Mike. Hold on, one more call. Let's go to a guy. Here's a guy in San Francisco right now. Hello, Rack.
Yeah, hey, Don and Mike, how you doing today?
Hello, Rack.
Yeah, I'm a 32-dog-year-old Labrador, and really the whole crux behind this thing isn't so much, you know,
what did you just say? Hold it. What did you say? What did it mean? What was your joke? Explain your joke. What was
the joke? Is that he's going to pretend he's a dog.
It's the whole leash law thing now. So now the Rex, you know...
Wait, hold on.
Rex. It can determine whether or not
Rex
he has to be on a leash now, right, I guess, right? Rex. Because I don't have enough dogs that's into my front yard as it is.
All right, I don't know what Rex's point was. I'm sorry. I had to cut him off.
Rex didn't want to listen.
I had to cut him off.
I didn't understand that whole thing. I'm a 32-year-old Doberman Pinscher or whatever the hell he was.
I think
he was on your side, though.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter when you're not, you know, making your points clearly on this forum.
Right. On this stage in this fine city.
Bully pulpit with our powdered wigs.
Oh, would I die for a Cocker Spaniel on rye right now. Oh, no. That'd be so good with some Gouldens mustard.
Do dogs... I mean... Has anyone ever eaten dog?
I haven't.
I mean, obviously...
I bet you've eaten a few dogs in your life, Mike.
Bada bing. I mean, in Asian cultures, they eat dog.
Yes. Yes, they do.
So it must have some property that maybe makes it a delicacy.
People must like it. In South Korea, the people believe that it not only makes you healthier, but that it increases a man's sexual prowess.
Mm. Give me a plate of dachshund.
like oysters.
Oh, that's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
With some A1 sauce, please.
You know, we were eating crabs.
Spicy A1 sauce with Tabasco makes anything better. It really does. You ever had spicy A1?
Yes, we were eating crabs the other night, and I was ripping them apart. And actually, you know, you're taking the lungs off, and you're breaking the crab in two. You're taking off its little thing. And at one point, I was diving into this crab claw, and I looked at one of the steamed crabs and that little black eye that they have in the front. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, it was looking right at me. And the whole, you know, just for a moment, I entertained the thought, you know, here it is. It's a living creature. We're ripping it apart, and it's just kind of like
you still ate it though, right?
Oh, chowed him down.
Did you eat the eye?
No, the eye doesn't taste good. Right. Makes it taste good.
Put some A1 on that eye. Make that eye mighty tasty. That's a good eye.
Ooh, that A1 sauce on crab.
Ooh, that's a good eye.
I use A1 on shrimp.
I used A1 the other night. My wife got so mad during dinner when she called me Jethro. Because I put a little A1 on my steak, and then we were having corn on the cob.
Right.
I just dabbed a little of the corn on the cob in the A1.
I bet you were regular.
And then I put a little A1 on my broccoli.
Right.
And at that point, she hadn't said anything yet until my son reached for the A1, and she said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I want to put it on my corn and on my broccoli like Dad did." And then my wife went through the ceiling.
Really?
And she called me a redneck and called me Jethro Clampett and said...
You know that shrimp dish that we ate down in New Orleans, Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Louisiana barbecued shrimp?
Sure.
You can either use Worcestershire, but also you can use A1, and I've used it to make that sauce with A1. And so technically I use it on shrimp. You would think, I mean, when you think of that and shrimp, it'd be like, yeah, but A1, man, very versatile.
A1's good.
Very good.
Love A1. Robbie, go get me a big glass of A1. Right now. I'd love it. You want to take one more call on this?
Why not?
Are you getting bored with this? Let's take one more. Here's
Garrett, buddy. Hello, Garrett.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I'm wondering about, I know you were doing, you're trying to get the milk off of the cows. I'm wondering if the cow farmers are owners of animals.
Of course they are.
Well, that's what I think, too. I mean, otherwise we have them butchering these cows for our benefit. I know we can't butcher the dogs.
And of their own free will. They could go wherever they wanted.
That's right.
All kinds of animals were butchered.
They choose to be butchered.
The chickens stick around waiting for the guillotine.
That's right. Chickens want to be eaten.
That's right.
They want to be slaughtered.
They live to serve me.
Have you ever seen a chicken? Have you ever seen a chicken slaughtered?
Yes, I have, Mike. As a matter of fact, I have.
Pretty nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good show.
It's pretty amazing, too.
I saw it once in Wisconsin when I was a kid. My brother and I went to
a little family farm.
Yeah, a farm, and they invited us in to watch.
They really do that running around thing.
They put a big show on.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you want to come in and watch us slaughter a chicken? We said, sure.
And I saw him slaughter a pig one time, too.
I'm just happy that
a single pig that the guy owned, that the farmer owned, and it was not pretty.
Okay, you're the winner there.
It was, and we were skinning it. And as we were skinning the pig, right at the end, it was like one of those reflex muscles in the pig's leg went in like that. And I went, yeah, ma, ma. Very scary. I didn't. He asked again if I wanted to go down and do it. I never went back. I was reading a story the other day about a family. They had a pig on their farm, and they wanted to name it something so the kids wouldn't get too attached to it, and so the kids would understand that someday we're going to eat this pig.
Name it dinner.
No, they named the pig Spammy. And just as it was about time to slaughter Spammy and have him for dinner, they had a fire in their barn, and Spammy rescued the family dog from the fire.
And they kept him alive?
Spammy's life has been spared.
Is that a Bud Light commercial?
It's a wonderful, lovely story.
Wonderful story. Thank you, Buzz.
Join Buzz again tomorrow, this time for another Hallmark moment.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Buzz.
You bet.
Okay, listen, enough about that.
Spammy. Sorry, we're out of time.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.